and I woke up one morning and like shit water had come up out of the shower stall and flooded all my clothes and everything and where I had been sleeping. And I was like, this is a fucking, what the fuck is this? It's just shit all over me. So that was pretty bad.
Well, I kissed a day, I was on my way. That's cold gray, lots of stone. For 17 years, of squalor filled ears. A time now in innocence lost. As the sun split the room, its rays filled with gloom. Turning all hope to despair. The only thing left was a flea from the nest. That was life in a tenement square.
Hello, you guys. Welcome to Orange Your Bear's Captain Tank, episode 216. How are you, everybody? All right, so quick update on the gummy bears and french fries situation. Calling a situation. The reality is, we all know, it's more like a revolution. People have tried it. I'm hearing the reports. Here are the early front runners for what the name should be. Goutine? Because it's all gooey, maybe, and gummy? Los Gumis Hermanos, Goutine. Because poutine, if you don't know, has cheese curds and gravy all, and then you pour gravy all over it, the cheese curds on top of the french fries. And then when the gravy gets it, it just melts all over. So it's gooey. That's what poutine is. If you haven't had poutine, sidebar, get some fucking poutine. What are you doing with your life? Are you serious? Like, do you seriously listen to this podcast and have never gone out of your way to try to find poutine? You got to be kidding me. I mean, if you live in a big city, there's no excuse. If you live in a small city, I could see it. If you're a small city, I could see it. Outside Wisconsin, because you guys have access to cheese curds. But any other small city, I can see it. You should still look. Before you're drunk. You're going to need it when you're drunk. But look before you're drunk. Or high. But anyway, let's get back to it. So, if you don't know, I came across... God has blessed me with some insight into the world of taste, and I threw some gummy bears onto some fresh french fries. It just came out of the steamer. Broiler, whatever. Deep fryer? Deep fryer is right. Like, seconds before, under a minute, and I poured them all over, and they fucking melted, and I know what you're thinking. It sounds gross, but the salty and the sweet mixed together. It's amazing. It's amazing. Gummy fries, people call them. Even with the ketchup, it's amazing. Goutine. There's a few other ones. I don't know how you're going to order this, you guys. If the Sacramento Punchline was smart, they would start putting it on their menu. All you need is some gummy bears. And then as soon as it's out, but you can't wait. You can't wait like 2 minutes, then put them on there. I mean, you got to get it with the steam really coming out. You got to really melt them right away. So it's like out, pour all over, and then give it to the waiter to serve. And sure, you know, it's not a done recipe. It's not finished. You got to tweak. There's always tweaking to be done. I mean, to the guy who first had, I'll put cheese on steak. And then someone else like, put it in a bun so we can hold it. Oh, so it doesn't get all over your hands. That's a good idea, Gino. Well, I'm all about good ideas, Pat. Let's go into business together. And this guy Gino and this guy Pat decided to go into business together. And then some white garbage trash lady got in the way. And Gino and Pat were sworn enemies forever. And if you go to Philadelphia today, you can still see Gino's cheesesteak. Right kitty corner across the street from Pat's cheesesteak. They used to be great friends. They'd be racist together. Seriously, both those places are super racist. On today's episode, I have this comedian named Nick Mullen. And Nick, I first noticed in Moon Tower Comedy Festival. Me and Metzger were doing a show there, and Sarah Schaefer, and Nick was on there. Bobcat Goldthwait was on it too. And man, he made me laugh so hard. He was so good. I mean, I really got into what he was doing. Never heard of him before. So I went and watched another one of his sets at the over there at Moon Tower, and he fucking killed it again. Different material. But you know how festivals are. A lot of times they're super positive crowds, which is not a knock on festivals. That's actually a fucking positive thing for festivals. It's great. Great crowds. Fucking love comedy. Then I saw him in New York. And the guy's fucking good. He's just a really solid comic. But he's poor as fuck. And his living situation is, I mean, just amazing. He lives in fucking a tenement. He lives in a tenement. He's a fucking good comic, and he lives in a tenement. I mean, a square room with nothing in it. Looks like a holding cell. God, I wanted to see it. He got kicked out. In between scheduling this podcast and him doing it, his illegal landlord said the illegality has to come to an end. They weren't defending the legal problem. They just said, hey, you guys all got to fucking get out because we're doing something else with the building. They just kicked them all out. Super illegal housing. And Nick Mullen was staying in it. So we got into it, what it's like, all this stuff. And then, you know, this podcast, if it wasn't called The Skeptic Tank, should be called Meander Time. Because we meandered, like I always do. You know, you get back to stuff. That's what I do in this podcast. Meander. The one with David Taylor, the early one, Software Millionaire. One of the best ones I've ever had. It starts about being fucking rich at software during the boom, but it quickly devolves into stories about prison rape. Oh, and we got so into prison rape and looked at all these videos. It was just so great. Anyway, this one meandered. And right now, Nick Mullen is at a place that I was. 10 years into comedy. Nothing's really happening. I don't want to call it frustrated, but I don't know, man. You run up against this wall over and over again. And people say, like, well, you got to stick it out. That's how you succeed. But the reality is, most of the time, when you run up against that wall, I don't think you do succeed. I think most people fail out, and then we just forget about them because they're not around. So we don't remember their failure because they're just gone. They're selling insurance somewhere in Idaho. So he's at a kind of a crossroads right now. And I was going to just cut it out, but I think it's an interesting insight into a comic who's getting better and better, but then just doesn't know the path. There is no path. But anyway, it gets cool. So the first part, all about this tenement, some other shit, and then we start getting into the comedy. And we walk around the Lower East Side and the Bowery and take a little tour. It's fun. Fun podcast. I'd say go check him out, but there's nowhere to check him out. He says it at the end. He's like, no, I mean, don't follow me. The one thing that I saw that he did really good that Metzger loves Nicole Mullen. It's his mom character that he writes a blog about. And I guess he says the early ones were good, but then he doesn't like it anymore. I mean, he's just down on himself. So there's nowhere to find him, but let's, in the meantime, enjoy him before he commits suicide. Let's enjoy Nick Mullen talking about his awful, awful living situation in this tenement house. Man, I wonder, it is kind of weird that he lives in a fucking 6x8 block. And I open this by talking about the extravagance of gummy fries. Goutine? No, he said that one. There was another one. People wrote me. I got to find out what it is. People wrote me. Where are my favorites? Sticky fries. That's a good one. Sticky fries. Got your fungal hookup at Bonnaroo. Ooh. Nice. Joutine? No, because that's self-referential. That's about me. It's not about me. It's about the fries and gummy bears. Hari Boutine? That's a good one. That's a good one. Gummy fingers, not bad. You guys, let's all crowdsource this. This is out for the world. French bears, German fries, because gummy bears are fries. Gummy bears, the Haribo gummy bears are German. That's not bad. German fries, that's not bad. Mike LeBlanc. The Great Gummy Potato Massacre. The Great Gummy Potato Massacre. Too long, man. Good one, but too long. The Great Gummy Potato Massacre. All right. You guys will start the episode. Ari Shaffir's Captain Tank, episode 216. Tenements. Tenement. I could do a better name than that. Tenement time. Time for tenement. I don't know. Maybe it's about his situation. Tenement. Tenement settlement. I don't know. All right, tenement it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir's Captain Tank, episode 216. Tenement. With McMullen starts now.
It's very fancy, an old Delancey Street, you know.
The subway charms us all when balmy breezes blow.
To and fro, and tell me what street compares with Mott Street in July. Sweet push carts gently gliding by.
The great big city.
Who are, writing any columns?
You need to check, make sure.
No, there's nothing to check.
All right.
I don't think the people who write columns are trying to get death threats sent. They generally, to me, aren't the ones who are going, we got to get this guy fired, we got to get this guy, shamed or whatever it is. I think it's their followers that act on their behalf.
Yeah.
So they rabble-rouse them into
It depends
action.
On what, you know, what you're... Like, who you're talking about. I mean, there's people that write very dumb shit on the internet and they're employed as writers.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not as far as having, like, people attack the parents of that trans girl that killed herself, but...
Yeah, they were sending her death threats.
Yeah, well, it was like, you know, all this... Yeah, you know, like, lecturing her parents for being transphobic, and it's like, you deserve this, like...
It's not bad enough their kid killed themselves.
Oh, yeah, no, they
like, oh, we gotta deal with this horrible pain, and now we have Reddit people going... Fuck you, I'll kill you if I ever see you. And it's like, I just said she should wait till 18 before she dies. You're listening to a fucking 16-year-old girl who's the most emotional of any age group.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's...
I used to write suicide notes when I was 15, 16.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever read with Jim Norton's book, the first one? Happy Ending? I can't remember.
You lost me a book.
Oh, okay.
But go ahead. I'm trying.
Yeah,
but.
No, I mean, it's like at some point, I read it like 10 years ago or whenever it came out, but like he has this, he like uses, I think it's like a suicide note or a fucking poem he wrote as a teenager.
Oh, really?
And he spends like 2 pages like just tearing himself apart.
I like that.
Like, you faggot. Look at you whiny, whiny face. Great.
You ever hear Legion of Skanks when they were making fun of Lewis's love letter to that girl?
No.
Oh, it was solid.
Yeah?
Because they found it. He was really in love with her, and he was writing these love poems. Big J just, like, does a Luis Gomez impression.
Would he, like, hung on to it or something? It was, like, unsent.
Yeah, or he found it later. Maybe she sent it to him.
Oh, okay.
I forget what it is. It's, like, the entryway to the Legion of Skanks.
Yeah, I joke about that with, like, friends, like, how lucky I am that I was, like, just... above the age where, you know, like every embarrassing fucking thing you do is like through and on the internet.
Just before that age?
Yeah, as like a teenager. Because, yeah. Like, you know, I mean, I never had like a live journal or anything. So like all the dumb shit I thought and I said was just to my friends.
In your book, yourself, that you
can
throw
away.
Yeah,
right, exactly. It's not like out there, but...
They can't find it years later. Oh, yeah, like your MySpace stuff is still available?
Right, yeah. Like kids now, like there's kids out there, it's like 13, that's like, oh yeah, it's a good idea for me to upload videos of myself like playing with Pokemon dolls on YouTube. Yeah. And I'm certainly not going to regret this when I'm 17. I'm not going to regret that at all.
You ever see that Simpsons where he's like, Homer's like, no, a tattoo should represent skill forever. So it has to represent something you're really into. And he's like this. And he picks up his arm and it says Starland Vocal Band. He's like, what? They suck.
Yeah. Now that must be one of the later seasons.
Probably.
Season 38.
I held on 47. More than anybody.
Yeah.
People are like, it's done. I'm like, no, you guys, it's still got its moments. And then after like, probably only like 4 years ago, I was like, oh, this show is for children.
No, I gave up on it in high school.
In high school?
Yeah, because that was like my entire, like childhood was just, I was obsessed with The Simpsons. I would,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, me
I would,
too.
I would tape, Because you're from like the DC area, so you're like Fox 5, and then Fox 5, also the Baltimore channels. Like,
what was that, 11?
Fox 54, I think it was 54.
Yeah, you get them both.
You get them both. So you could watch total 3 Simpsons episodes a night when it was on like weekly or, you know, weekday syndication. And I still have boxes and boxes of taped episodes.
Of VHS tapes. I just threw mine out.
Yeah.
I have every one of the Simpsons up to that point on VHS tape.
Like, oh, really?
I'm gonna need these. And then it's like, oh, they came out on DVD,
mm-hmm.
and I still held on to them. And then it's like, also, now they're available. There's like Every Simpson Ever is a website.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then also, it's like, they're just available for illegal downloads
whenever
you want. I'm like, why do I have these VHS tapes?
Right. Yeah, no, I went back and I watched. I think I taped like either the premiere of Futurama or something, but I found like a VHS tape recently from like early 2000. And like, I should just throw it out.
But we didn't even watch it.
You know what I taped?
Platforms away from being able to watch that.
The premiere of the PJs. You remember the PJs?
Yeah, I remember the PJs. Yeah. That was Eddie Murphy's thing, right?
Right, yeah. And they are weird to watch. Just
Claymation?
It was Claymation. Yeah, just wow. For the commercials. Old Mazda commercials.
Oh, right.
Duracells. You remember when batteries had commercials?
Dude, I don't know what any commercials are anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I just do, like... Yeah, I mean, I guess Hulu.
It was like
in a while.
Every show there'd be at least 2 battery commercials. So it was like
kid shows like that where it's like you need to put batteries
in
your
stuff.
That's
right. Yeah,
dude, they had some show in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Forget who it is, but Sean Patton hosting it, and they just show old cartoons,
mm-hmm.
Like daytime shit, and they have the commercials too, and they have people on mic like you know heckling it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's like some of those commercials are hilarious.
Yeah,
and the games you kind of remember, and like this is how you marketed it to us.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, no, old, you ever see, like, Found Footage Fest or Everything is Terrible or
no.
TV Carnage?
Uh-uh.
This is like, they all do a similar thing where I don't know where they get them, but they have, like, access to all these old VHS tapes, like, recorded broadcast television from, like, I don't know, late 80s, early 90s. TV Carnage will take, like, they'll do, like, a theme. They release these, like, I don't know, maybe hour-long videos that are on a theme, and it's all spliced together from like Jenny Jones and like infomercials and commercials, yeah, and all that kind of shit.
Remember when Jenny Jones had that guy, and what was the reveal that he ended up his best friend liked him or he had sex with his best friend? That was a guy.
Maybe isn't that like every episode on Jenny Jones?
It was something, but then the guy killed the dude.
Yeah, because I used to watch all those. I watched Jenny Jones and Ricky Lake often,
but they were all about publicly embarrassing people.
Yeah, sometimes. Ricky Lake, not so much.
Ricky Lake, not
I don't think.
Much.
I mean, Springer was.
And Oprah was right there with them, with that cheese dick shit.
I never watched Oprah.
She was, when Springer, and before Springer, who's the big mouth? Downey Jr.
Morton Downey Jr.
Morton Downey Jr. Him and Oprah were like back-to-back, just shock jocks, daytime mm-hmm. shock jocks. She got serious about herself.
Yeah.
But like, she was just that same garbage shit. They probably forced her into it. I mean, when you look back, she probably had better ideas, but they were like, no way, can you do those?
Yeah, no, I don't think I ever watched Oprah once growing up. I mean, she was just sort of the butt of jokes on other shows that I watched, but I never really consumed any of her show. But I watched a lot of Jenny Jones and a lot of Ricky Lake. That was because I didn't have cable growing up, so it was
me neither.
Yeah, it was nothing but that shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's all it was on.
Ricky Lake was always like, I remember they had one episode where it was like an intervention for some woman's like daughter or friend.
Yeah.
And it's like, your platform shoes are too big. And this girl just had like custom made like jelly shoes that were, you know, I don't know, like a foot high or something.
Yeah.
But it was always dumb. There was a lot of goth episodes, you know, like what are goths? Do you worship the devil? Like a lot
and
of
they're
those.
Like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And they get some like 18-year-old be the spokesman for the whole movement.
Right.
They're like,
I
barely know what I am. Like, why are you making me an expert on this?
Yeah. There's YouTube, there's like a popular video of like the New York hardcore scene, like a bunch of like New York hardcore punk kids on Donahue. In like the
really?
80s. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Donahue.
Yeah, and he's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why are your pants have holes in them, you know?
You're worrying your parents.
Right.
We used to do this thing where we'd go to like daytime. I spent a year here when I was still religious at Yeshiva mm-hmm. University.
Mm-hmm.
We would go to like these daytime talk shows.
Yeah.
Tapings, and we'd try to get on camera somehow. So like my friend once, it was this guy who like abandoned his wife and kids. Took a bunch of the money and like left, and his kid was like a year old or something like that. It was like 2 years later. My friend raises his hand, and who's the black guy to climb a mountain? Who wrote that book? I'll climb a mountain.
I don't know.
The bald black guy. He was a daytime guy.
Montel Williams?
Montel Williams. Yeah. So my friend raises his hand and goes, well, I think you should take care of your kids instead of running away.
Yeah.
And everyone claps. And he's like, good point.
Oh, I forgot about the.
And we're like, motherfucker, that's your stance.
Yeah.
That's the easiest clap you can get.
I forgot about the question disses where they would go to the audience.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would be like a guy in the audience. And he's just like, oh, yeah, my question's for the big lady.
Oh, yeah. Question disses. Yeah, exactly. Springer was king of that.
Would you eat 3 breakfasts? And then the whole
crazy.
The whole audience goes nuts.
Yeah,
you go, you don't know me. And the staple from Springer, it's the 90s. That was the write-off. Anytime anybody was doing some fucked up shit, they would defend it by going, it's the 90s, Jerry. You're supposed to, you know, fuck your kids.
20 years ago.
Yeah,
we had somebody in the audience once. It was some lady who wouldn't stop drinking when she was pregnant.
Mm.
And they're like, well, I'd say we all take you out back and beat the fuck out of you. Maybe you'll learn a lesson.
Yeah.
And whoever it was, it wasn't Montel. It was somebody else like, that's probably going to be worse for the baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Than the drinking. So maybe we shouldn't do that. And they was like, all right, good point, good point.
Have you ever seen the Steve Wilkos show?
Oh, yeah. Cal Ripken. No.
No.
He looks so much like Cal Ripken.
He does.
I was glad when he got a spinoff. I mean, I was happy for him.
Well,
all he did was break up fights for Springer
for
fucking a decade. And I'm like, this guy's in the trenches every day.
Yeah.
Give him a show.
I bet his show, I don't know if it's still on, but I bet now with all the anti-cop stuff going, because he's like a retired Chicago police officer.
You know who he is? I just realized. He's Mike from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
I guess, yeah.
He's that guy. He's like, I'll take care of shit for you.
Instead of turning into a criminal, he became a talk show host.
Yeah, he just like knew how to break up fights. Like, easy stay, let him get close. Just sure of himself.
You got to care more about your kids, Walt. that show's great because, I mean, I've only seen it a couple of times, but the guests are always ridiculous. Like, you know, they're all obviously a little bit scripted or, you know, they feed the guests, you know, like, okay, well, maybe ham it up a little bit. They have like guys on that show that are like, I have sex with my daughter and you can't stop me, you know, and then Steve will just like grab a chair and throw it across the stage and be like, get the hell off my show.
Really?
Yeah, no, that's what he brings people on and then he screams at them and there's a compilation on YouTube of him throwing chairs
over and over again.
Well, into the wall. He can throw them so that the legs break through the set and stick into the wall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. But Jeff Richards used to do a joke about it where he goes, if you show up on Maury, I think that was at the time, or Springer, and there's an extra chair there,
mm-hmm.
your life is pretty much over.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, you don't know exactly what's going to happen, but your life is over. It's coming soon.
Well, on Steve Wilkos' show, that chair is just for him to throw.
That's right. His, just the Bobby Knight
chair.
That's
his ammo. Yeah.
All right. So, Nick Mullen, mm-hmm. you are a resident of New York. Where'd you come from? Austin?
Austin. Spent time there 4 years.
I guess. A funny comic, man. That was the first time I saw you was Moon Tower of a year ago.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I tried hooking you up at the stand, but it didn't seem to take.
No. They're giving me spots.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, I certainly don't want to publicly, you know, say that the stand's not doing well.
Are they giving you spots?
Yeah, they give me spots. I mean, not a lot of spots.
Where else do you go up? Stand Up New York?
Nope, that's it. Just a stand.
That didn't work.
Yeah. No, they give me spots. I mean, I'm not a draw. I know that.
But there's some sort of level. I've talked to Adam about this from the Comedy Store. I'm like, I get it. Now that he took over from the Old Talent Coordinator. And he's like, we're going to change shit. All these people, you had to be a paid regular to perform there, or let's forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, this is dumb. We don't have one owner anymore who passes everybody. So he reached out to people like Hannibal and Greg Fitzsimmons and all these guys like, hey, if you want to work out here, please just call on your avails.
Right.
You're in. So just, you know. The problem is there's no time for like young guys.
Right.
But I tell him like, dude, once an hour, if it's a development club, you got to save one spot an hour for like a coming up guy.
Yeah.
You can't just make it a showcase. You can't just do Silverman, Fitzsimmons, Tom Papa, Rogan.
Right.
You know, you just can't do that if you want people to... You got to reforest.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the... I've never once looked at the lineup at the stand and thought, like, oh, well, you know, I should have that spot instead of this person.
Right. That's pretty nice about it. Tony Hinchcliffe is the exact opposite. He'll be like, fuck all these guys. I should have a spot. I'm like, where? Yeah, who would you take out of there?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean,
nothing's in a vacuum.
Right. I mean, all I have is Montreal and South By, and this, you know, audiences don't know what the fuck Just for Laughs is.
So I know, but you and Kevin Iso, though... No, they don't know what Just for Laughs is. It's only Canadian credit. But you and Kevin Iso are like, to me, like two guys that are like young and funny.
Right. Iso's not getting spots. I don't think he's not getting spots.
No, I'm saying neither one of you guys are getting some spots that you seem to need, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
what do you do? Mics?
Yeah, I just do mics. That's fine. I mean, but I don't know. I mean, I've been doing comedy a while. I feel like I can sort of, like, if I write a bit, I know whether it's funny or not.
Right. Yeah, there's tweaks. To me, you got to be on stage to tweak them out.
I mean, I grew more as a comic, you know, working the road, but I haven't. I stopped booking anything on the road when I moved here because I just wanted to be around all the time.
Right.
You know, so, you know, people remembered me, I guess. I just fucking hang out at the stand every night.
Yeah. Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, though, you're a comic and you're living in poverty.
I wouldn't say I'm living in poverty.
How much do you make a year?
I'm living in squalor.
Squalor.
It was, okay, well, I made $18,500 last year.
It's tough in New York.
And then according to my tax form, less expenses, I'm reporting $6,800. So
God.
I made $6,800 last year as far as the IRS is concerned.
Yeah, well, because you got to take, I mean, the gas you got to get from place to place. It's got, it's
yeah,
cost.
Every...
So, but, past that,
every business lunch I had every single day, all those meetings, all those business meetings I had.
Trust me, this coffee that we just bought, coffee and tea. Mm-hmm. I was like, gonna get my. I was like, oh no, I'm about to do a podcast. Yeah. That's tax deductible.
The business cocaine I had to do on Halloween. You have to write that out.
You did not write off cocaine.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
Excuse me, Tyrell. Can I get a receipt of some kind from you?
Yeah.
Something notarized would be great.
Well, all right. Let me just take a picture with you. I'll send in the picture.
I got recommended a new weed dealer. I think I scared him off.
Yeah.
My friend was like, hey, text this guy. He'll, you know, whatever. I knew what it was. Mm. One name, one weird nickname. Text Cockroach. He'll hook you up. I know what that means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, hey, man, your buddy told me to tell you I'm Ari. He's like, oh, cool. How are you? Where do you live? I'm like, East Village. Are you ever around there? He's like, yeah, sometimes. You know, I'm in Brooklyn. I was like, cool. Well, if you're ever around... And then this is like over 2 hours. And I'm like, well, if you're ever around, I could really use some like strong sativa.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, goodbye. It was like scared him off.
Oh, really?
I'm like, well, how slow do you take this? What is this, like a girl?
That's weird.
You're a drug dealer.
I don't think I've ever bought weed more than once off like
any guy.
Any the same person. Yeah.
I need a good delivery guy.
Yeah.
Who, I'll even meet them. I don't have to fully deliver.
Yeah.
But like something, some guy who has variety and strength.
Comics do that job. There's like comics delivery? That are in with those, yeah, delivery companies. I know, I don't want to fucking air his dirty
laundry. Without name.
Well, he got fired. He got arrested and he got fired.
Oh.
Fired
from what?
From his weed delivery job because he got arrested because he sold to a comedian who was like, can you just help me out? And you're not supposed to sell to anybody out of network. And then he fucking like, you know, sold him an eighth or something. Something small in... I don't know, like Union Square. He did it in a dumb spot, and then
I bought Union Square before. I've met people there for transaction.
Really?
Yeah,
It
seems public, but it's like nobody knows what we're
that's
doing.
That's the big sting spot, I guess.
Union Square. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just. I mean, there's got to be like plainclothes officers
and
all over the place.
There's plenty of place to set up a camera for long range shots at people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like nowhere you can go out of camera range. They can just follow you and zoom in.
Yeah. Soon there's going to be drones. There's going to be weed detecting drones.
There is going to be that.
Yeah.
See what Christie said.
No.
He said that if he's president, he will for sure crack down on weed. And he goes, states like Washington and Colorado that have legalized it. He goes, I'm ending that.
Yeah.
He's like, no, that's a gateway drug. I'm
ending
that.
Yeah, but I mean, he's probably not going to be president. And,
right. But he goes like...
And how much of that is just to fucking like... You know, get the nomination.
I think
you know,
all of it's to get these nominations.
Of course it is, but I don't.
But then it's like, so what are we even listening to you guys for?
It's such
for?
A fucking waste of time to go after weed now at this point.
It's like, dude, nobody cares.
Yeah, no, I mean,
go
to the extent they've like legalized it in D.C., but they're you know just not on federal property, which is ridiculous.
Dude, that was one of the hardest places to find a place to go smoke.
Yeah,
is I got out of the Holocaust Memorial. I mean, it's moving.
Yeah,
and.
Well, you can't smoke in the Holocaust because that's federal. Is it federal? No, it's private.
Well, it's indoors. You don't want to smoke weed at the Holocaust Memorial. You don't want to be that guy.
I know. Yeah, you can't.
But anyway, so I left. I was like, I really need, like I was crying and I was like, I really need a place to go smoke. And there's no place.
You hadn't been there before?
No. There was one I went to in Jerusalem, Yad Vashem, which is a little different. And I never went to this one. My dad works there now.
Oh, really?
As like a survivor. He like helps give tours and stuff and talks about his thing.
Remember that shooting? Do you remember the shooting that happened there a couple years ago? Where's the guy went, and then he shot a black guy. So he went to the Holocaust Museum and then
shoot a black guy.
Shot a black guy. Yeah.
Most of the Holocaust survivors like, yeah, good.
Yeah.
I hate those Schwarzes.
Right. Well, that's got to suck if you're that black dude.
What? I wasn't even part of this fight.
Yeah, right.
We weren't even in Europe.
Yeah.
There's a couple of us in England at the time, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, $6,000 a year. So this is a leading question, but how do you afford rent in New York?
Well, for last year, I lived in a... I was calling it a single room occupancy. Which is
hold on. Single room occupancy.
SRO.
Whoa, is that a real term?
Yeah. SROs in New York are like rooms. Usually what it is, it's like it's an apartment building that's like illegally converted into a hotel. And that happened at some point in the last, I don't know, 50 years or whatever. And the landlords will do that so they can rent the rooms out at higher weekly rates or whatever, and fit more people into, you know, these floors or spaces or whatever.
Yeah.
There's like a bunch of fucking laws surrounding SROs because they're sort of, you know, it's like in between homelessness and, you know, having a place to live is SROs, and they're dwindling, they're disappearing, you know, around the city.
Okay.
Now, where I lived wasn't an SRO. Where I lived was, in terms of having the legal protections of an SRO, it wasn't.
SROs have legal protections?
SROs have legal protections. And, you know, I mean, you would have to, like, consult a lawyer to get, like, the finer details. But basically, it's like, if a building is SRO protected, it means that the landlord isn't allowed to convert that space into anything until all the tenants have like willingly decided to leave.
What do you mean convert it into anything?
Well, they can't convert it into retail space. They can't convert it into apartments. It has to stay in SRO. They're not allowed to turn it into anything because at
so
this,
you couldn't, like, if three people leave, you couldn't knock down those walls and make it like a one bedroom apartment.
You could in that area, but if people don't want to like vacate, that you can't kick
you
them out.
You cannot kick them out.
Yeah.
Right.
And once you've been, like, let's say, because they still have, like, you know, there's like flop houses in New York. I mean,
what are flop houses?
Well, you know, they used to be like a Great Depression thing, like a place. It's, you know, like a really cheap fucking hotel or whatever.
Right.
There's
there's like, that place down the lower something side, maybe lower west side, but that's not a thing. But they have those cots that come down that are on the wall. It used to be a place where the sailors would come in.
Yeah.
And they converted it. The lobby's real nice and it's a cool bar.
Yeah. There's like a couple. There's one on Bowery. There's like a Bowery, I forget, like the Bowery White House or Bowery something. And it's cheap. It's like, you know, it's like $35, $40 a night.
Wow, in New York.
Yeah.
And what do you get for that?
Well, $35, $40 a night. And then you just get a room with a bed in it and then a shared kitchen, shared bath. But all those places, they won't let you stay there for more than 20 days.
Uh-huh.
And then you're not allowed to stay for more than one stay in like a 60-day window or something. Because if you stay in one of those places, if you manage to stay there for 30 days, you're considered a permanent resident and you're allowed to request a lease. And then they're legally bound to provide you with a lease if you request it at the rate that, you know, you've been paying.
$35 a day.
$35 a day.
Which is about a grand a month.
Yeah. And Bowery used to have a lot more of, like, you know, these SRO places.
Is Bowery where CBGB's was?
Yeah.
That's where, right there. Bowery Ballroom is right nearby there?
Bowery in Spring is where
okay.
It was.
That's Nolita. I'm just discovering that.
Yeah.
It's Lower East Side. I mean, it's East Village.
Yeah. It's confusing. Well, it's not East Village. It is Lower East Side. I think Lower East Side's like...
It's above Houston.
No, it's not. That's south.
Bowery's above Houston, isn't it?
Bowery goes north and it goes. It's above
right.
And
okay.
Below.
Okay.
Yeah. But.
Oh yeah, then it is.
Yeah. No. So there were these rooms all over. You know, all over the city. There are still some on the Upper West Side, I think.
Yeah.
But essentially it's just, you know, you have a fucking 50 square foot room and then you share a kitchen, you share a bathroom.
Do you get a lock on your door?
Yeah.
So wait, so what were you in then?
I was just on the second floor of an old building that was supposed to be used for offices, but at some point had been converted into like just tiny cells. And nobody was supposed to be living there, but, you know, they put beds in and people were living there. And so, that was $350 a month.
$350 a month.
$350 a month.
Wow. $350 a month. What did you have in your place? $3.50 a month is so little. That's like a few bucks a day.
Dude, it's nothing.
That's $10 a day.
Yeah, I went in there and I like 11? Asked for rates, but the Sunbright Hotel at Bowery and Hester, I think that they I read somewhere that that was at $1.10 a night to stay on the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
And the top floor of the building is like, so it's a hotel.
For sure, walk up or elevator?
They might have an elevator, but I think it's... well, even then, at that point, it doesn't fucking matter because it's like it's crazy. Like as you go up in the hotel, like the services deteriorate. It becomes more and more. You know, it's like different
going
levels.
Into the woods.
Right, it's like different levels of hell, and you get to the top floor. And I read somewhere that like just women are not allowed on the top floor. Because the top floor is like just these small 7-foot by 4-foot cells with like a tiny bed in there. And they don't have ceilings. There's just cubicles, and there's like a chicken wire mesh roof.
Wow, like storage space.
Yeah, storage space. And there's like 100 people that live in there, and they all just fill the hallways with trash. It's filled with bed bugs and cockroaches and disease, and like, you know, just extension cords hang down from the ceiling, and that's where you can plug your shit in. But, you know, $300 a month to live in Manhattan.
Where was that?
That's Bowery and Hester.
That's where you live?
No. This is a different place.
Okay.
One of the other guys I lived with when I was living at the place I was living at, he was saying he was staying in a similar situation.
Is this legal at all?
No.
So Bowery and Hester has just an illegal tenement situation.
I went in there. I went in there when I got evicted from this place, and I was like asking them how much rooms were a night, and the guy was like, you know, he said there were 60 a night, and I don't know. I mean, you can Google Sunbright and like find articles about it. So I mean, I'm sure. If, you know, either it's A, not like that anymore, or B, the city just turns a blind eye to it because it's where homeless people can live.
Oh, right. There is that where it's like, if you're like, no, these aren't legal, then it's like you're just putting people on the street.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's all we can afford.
Right.
Saying you have to soup it up and make it $1,000 a month.
Well, like, they get busted up sometimes. I mean, if you do a search for like Chinatown SROs, you'll see where like some, you know, Chinese businessman owned a building and he had like the second floor that he just subdivided into, you know, 10-foot by 10-foot spaces, and had, because some people there'd be like, I mean, my room was 48 square feet, and you know it was tight, but
48
you
know, square feet.
Yeah,
describe
eight,
that in
8 feet, 8 feet by 6 feet.
Oh, that sounds way less than 48 square feet.
Yeah, no, it was tight.
8 feet by 6 feet. So to here is about 8 feet.
Yeah, it's about the size of this living room, I guess. Yeah, about that. Yeah.
And then you had, what did you have, a bed there?
Yeah, there was like bunk beds built into the wall. I used the top one for storage and the bottom one to sleep on.
Smart.
And then, no window or anything.
Where was this?
It's in Chinatown.
This is the place you just left?
Yeah.
So in Chinatown, where was, oh, we got to see this afterwards. After, when we're done with this, let's go over there.
Yeah, we'll go over there. I don't know. I got to be careful because we, I did just get kicked out of there. So, I mean, like, I won't name the address, you know.
Why? You just got kicked out?
Yeah, I don't know. Worried about it. I mean, I still got a mini fridge there. And
no, that's fine. But, like, what are you worried about?
That they'll lock the doors. I won't be able to get my mini fridge out, or I won't be able to get the rest of my mail there. You know,
this won't come out for another week and a half, at least.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll go look at it.
Maybe even in May.
I'll show it to you.
Okay.
The address doesn't matter. What is
I know,
it?
But I want to walk by and see.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take you over there.
Okay. So you found it, how?
It was on Craigslist for like 10 seconds. It got flagged immediately.
As like illegal, you're not putting this on Craigslist?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck happened. But it was funny because, I mean, I only moved to New York with like $2,000. And
wow.
Yeah, well, I was like, because, you know, I was all...
That's not even a month rent for most people.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, last year, I was like, I'm saving up money to move to New York, and then I just spent the entire year drinking, you know.
That's not a great way to save.
No, not at all, dude. I didn't even... I think I had a job for, like, 3 months last year.
You Austin guys. Yeah. It's like, nobody works, everybody drinks to blackout, right. Like, 4 nights a week.
Yeah, you just hang out.
When they're not doing blow.
Yeah. I don't think there's that much...
No, pills. Pills are huge in Austin.
Are they? It depends on who you're hanging out with, because I was surprised not many people smoke weed in Austin, because I smoked a lot of weed when I was like a teenager, and then I moved there, and nobody, it's mostly like a drinking town.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good walking area. You go with those back patios, you know, like the gardens in the back.
It's, I mean, I loved it. I, you know, that was definitely a cool place to live in my early 20s.
Yeah.
But,
Was there an adjustment period to living in a room that's 8x6?
No. Because, no. I mean, I've lived in shittier spots.
Shittier than that?
Well, not... Yeah, kind of. I lived in a garage in L.A. And...
Where?
Atwater Village.
Okay.
And the garage had, like, sort of... You know, they were like, it's been converted into an apartment. But that there was just a toilet and a shower stall in there. So
right.
It wasn't like, an apartment.
It's not really converted.
You're right, yeah, it wasn't converted
at all.
Just
a nicer garage.
And there was all, like, I didn't have a bed at the time, so I would just, you know, I mean, I slept on the floor, which was, like, concrete. And, like, I didn't have any storage space. Just, I had a pile of fucking clothes, and then I would sleep on the floor.
Oh, and, like fucking Walking Dead.
Yeah, no, it sucked. And there was a tree that had a root that was growing underneath the foundation of the garage, and it grew so big that it lifted the garage off its foundation. So there was like a 3-inch clearance from the cement ground to where the walls
bugs
started.
And animals could just get in.
Yeah. So there's bugs and like fucking spiders all the time. I'd wake up and there'd be spiders like dead all over me that rolled over on and shit. And, yeah. And then one time like cause it shared, like she just had some fucking guy like do the plumbing. And like the plumbing in the house got backed up, and I woke up one morning and like shit water had come up out of the shower stall and flooded all my clothes and everything and where I had been sleeping. And I was like, this is a fucking, what the fuck is this? It's just shit all over me. So that was pretty bad. I used to live in Baltimore with a clown that had PTSD. That
really?
Was, yeah.
From what?
From the army, but from being raped in the army.
Really?
Yeah.
By dudes, right?
Yeah, he was raped by dudes in the army. Yeah, it wasn't like a combat thing. But yeah, no, the clown was married to a woman, and they were getting a divorce, so they, like, stayed in separate bedrooms, and you know, they would fight all the time, but he would wake up in the middle of the night having panic attacks, and that was, like,
no.
The craziest, you know, because I would wake up, and he would just be, like, breathing heavily. He was a big dude, too, and be throwing shit all over the fucking, you know, house or whatever, and freaking out, having flashbacks.
Wow.
Yeah.
They don't cover that much, all the rapes in military. There's
yeah.
like a shocking high amount of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's like jail, I think.
Yeah. But you'd be like, these are honorable men.
Mm-hmm.
There's protect our freedom. And it's like, where does raping each other
right, yeah.
come into
well,
that?
You sign up, you join the military, and then you like go overseas and do shit that would be like extremely illegal if you did it here.
Extremely illegal.
So the only difference between the military and jail is like when you're doing the illegal shit. You know, in jail,
on your own,
in jail it's before, and then in the military it's after. So
Metzger always says it about it. It's like the weird thing is there's so many Christians in the military,
mm-hmm.
like religious people.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, but there's zero defense religiously for killing someone in war.
He goes
like national lines don't give you a justification for Jesus to kill someone. You're just not allowed to kill.
Yeah,
you can't be like, well, we're protecting oil interests and so-and-so, or they attacked our land, so we have to. He goes, no, that's just not part of Christianity.
Yeah,
that's just killing.
Yeah,
you can't do it.
Yeah
anyway, so you
wait, it doesn't say, well, I guess he would know.
No, there's nothing. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing Old Testament.
Yeah, there's nothing in the New Testament that says you can kill people.
If what? If they attack Kuwait, you can go over to Iraq to kill.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't read the Bible.
Someone who signed up because their officers kill. It's like, that's just murder. You're just killing someone. They say defense if you're defending yourself, but that's not defending yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I don't know. I mean, I've never been religious, so I'm.
Good for you.
I don't know.
So how long have you lived in this fucking tenement in Chinatown?
Well, I just moved out, but I was there like 13 months.
13 months. Is there like a year lease with an option for another year? How do they do it?
There's no lease. It was month to month from the get-go.
Okay, because they figure you're either going to be dead
or
out.
They can't offer me a lease because I rented the room from a Chinese guy that rented the entire floor from whoever.
Oh, and then he jacks the price up.
No, actually, I calculated it, and I know what he was paying in rent, and he was just breaking even, so...
Why would he do that?
I don't know. You know, why not?
What?
Yeah, I mean, he had his rent paid for by, you know...
He lived there too?
Yeah. Yeah,
he
I think so.
Bought out the whole place so he could have his rent paid
for. Well, he had been there for forever. Like, his brother had been...
Was he grandfathered in? He was only paying like $7 a day instead of 10?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. The story was, like, his brother was a doctor, and his brother rented out the entire floor and then rented out all the offices in there to other people. And his brother had been there for like a long time, and then he took over the place, I guess, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago or something. And he was renting out the rooms to other people.
Who lives in these places?
Well, it was when I first moved in, the guy right next to me was like a security guard or some shit. He was like 40. He was from Dallas. He was weird. He was like a very weird dude. And him and this Puerto Rican guy had just gotten out of like some kind of shelter, and they were friends. There was another guy that was in his like 30s that was like, he had like a bunch of jobs, but they were all bullshit jobs. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know, like he's like, oh, I'm a movie producer. Yeah, no, you're not. You know, like
you're a movie producer living in a fucking flop house.
Yeah. Where like, you know, you go around telling people like, oh, we're going to bring like artists together. Like one of those guys that just has like 19 different types of business cards and like,
depending on what you need.
Yeah. And 3 shirts. He's got like 3 good shirts and he goes around networking all the time. I talked to him one time and he was like, cause he was like, oh, you're a comedian. He's like, can you get Dave Attell to do my movie? He was like, I tried to ask Dave Attell outside the Comedy Cellar to do my movie, and he kind of ignored me.
Yeah, that's
like,
the place to do it.
Yeah, why?
You definitely don't want to go through someone's agent or manager. You definitely want to bother them when they're hanging out with their friends.
Yeah.
Rogan,
you do
said
my
that
movie.
About
hello,
the store.
I live in a homeless shelter. Will you do my movie that I wrote?
I was a real dick when I tried to. I just tried to give him work. He was a real dick.
Yeah. Nah. So that guy was kind of desperate, and then there was another guy in there that was like, in a similar situation I'm in. He actually had a fucking nice room. He paid a little bit more, but he had like...
What do you mean he had a nice room?
Well, he had a bigger room and also had a window that faced the kitchen, and the kitchen had a window. So it was like he had like a nice room.
But people in the kitchen could see you, but you could close your blinds.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, he had some kind of setup where you couldn't see into the room. It was like some screen thing.
But he could see light through another room that saw light. And so that's super sought after.
Yeah, I guess. I think he was paying like $500, and his room is probably like, I don't know, 16 feet by 16 feet.
Oh, way better.
Yeah.
I can't imagine not getting any sunlight in your residence, in your entire residence.
Yeah, no, it was rough. I was like, I think I had like a vitamin D deficiency from doing that shit. But I mean, I would leave, you know, like a freelance. I would leave the house a lot.
You what?
Freelance? I have like freelance, yeah, for money. So I mean, I don't have to like be in there. I could go work wherever.
What do you mean freelance?
Like writing.
What do you do?
I blog.
Oh yeah. That's it? You make money off that?
Yeah.
What's your blog? You have that great mommy blog, right?
That's it. That's all I do.
What's it called?
I write as a mommy blogger.
What's her name?
Thought catalog. Nicole Mullen. I don't
know.
Mullen. I hate promoting it because the quality's falling off. I think
why?
It's garbage now.
Why?
I don't know. It's like a dumb joke, and I've been doing it for
too
a while.
Long.
Yeah, and I need the money, I guess.
You had some good stuff in there that really trolled people pretty solidly.
Yeah, like a year and a half ago. I think people caught on to the gimmick now, and now the joke's on me, you know?
The problem is, like, with Kaufman, people are like, you have to get it to understand it. You have to know he's fucking with... But once you know he's fucking with people, then that's it. It's done. That's the joke, is that you don't know.
Well, I think it's... And it's too... I mean, because I fall for shit online all the time, too. Where
sure,
I'll read
me too.
Something, and, like, it'll take me a while. Even if it's, like, well-written satire, it'll take me a second. Because your natural instinct when you read anything online...
It's to believe things.
It's to believe things.
No matter what it is, you're like, I'll take this at face value.
Yeah, so even when I, like, you know, I read something, I'll get caught off guard by it, and I'll be like, ah, fuck this. You know, even though it's what I do, you know, for a living. But I don't know. It's stupid. Online content's dumb.
What are you going to do after this, then? After,
I don't know.
After Nicole Mullen?
I don't fucking know, man.
You wrote shit like about how you beat your kids and how it's proper or whatever. What was it?
Yeah, shit like that. I don't know.
She was surprisingly Christian, too, Nicole.
Sometimes. There's nothing that's canon. It's like whatever I fucking feel like writing for the day. Sometimes they'll kill the son and then he comes back or...
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Are you trying to troll people?
Sometimes. I mean, when I first started doing it, I wrote a couple of articles that, like, I'm like, oh, this will be, like, fun, and people will get it, and people hated it, you know? So after that, I was like, oh, yeah, well, then I guess I will just try and piss people off.
You had some great quotes to me the other day about trolling people and how when the internet started, it was, like, tougher. What were you saying about that?
Oh, well, yeah, I feel like that used to be, like, you would go online, you would try to fuck with people, like, that.
That was the thing, when you go online, at the beginning, you ever go to All Things Comedy?
Mm-mm.
It's this comedy blog, web group, not blog. It's a message board.
Yeah.
And it's for alt comedy, based centered in L.A., and then they started branching out.
Yeah.
And comics saw it, Louis and Patton and all these guys saw it, like, whoa, what is it? It was like early on a message, and it was like, it looked like it was written down, so it looked like it was like meaningful. And then you realize just the opinions of like some the fans of the UCB.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
200 or so people that go by there most of the time, that's mm-hmm. it. And so you're like, oh, okay, I don't really care then.
Yeah.
But for a while, it was like important, all these comics. Like, can you believe they wrote this? I'm like, there's no they. That's just some guy writing a post.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then I would, of course, you try to troll them. You try to fuck with them. I hate this guy, Myron Lefkowitz, who his favorite comic is Riley Newton. This girl who had done like a premium blend and pretty much later quit comedy and just loved her. I just loved fucking with them. I started up another account called Millennium Virgin. It was just my friend David Taylor.
Yeah.
Just acting as him. And then he had to write to them and say, hey, that's not me. I can tell by the writing as Ari. Can you please delete the account?
Yeah.
But it's just fun to fuck with them.
Yeah. No,
you
I mean.
You get a rise out of somebody.
Oh, yeah. No, all the time. The Yahoo Answers used to be the fucking best.
Yahoo Answers.
I used to go on Yahoo Answers. But like Yahoo Answers is nothing but other trolls. So.
You think so?
Yeah. You got to be. I mean, you know, it's other people on there.
It's probably when trolls overrun it, then we're like, wait, yeah. We're all fucking with each other.
Well, that one's great.
There's nobody here normal that we're fucking with.
Right. Teen medical advice boards. Those are always good.
Duncan Trussell put out a blog for me. Not a blog, but a response for me on godslittleones.com. Mm-hmm. You ever seen that one?
No.
Oh, come here.
What is this?
Come this way. This only goes so far. It's one of the greatest websites. I hope it's still here. Littleones.com. It might be .org. I bet it is. It is. Yep, there it is. Anyone who has an abortion or a miscarriage, they will recreate your baby. They'll find out what color hair you had, what color eyes you had.
Oh, and they'll make a tiny baby?
Yeah, and if you had an abortion, and they could do that. Hank at 25 weeks old with one day old real Springer Spaniel puppy. There was a picture in here of some woman that just had a miscarriage,
mm-hmm.
and she's making the husband pose with the baby.
Yeah,
and he's just like he doesn't know how to talk to the wife.
Yeah,
God, I wish I could find that. Pro life pins.
So what did you do with this? You had
oh no, he wrote in and just wrote all this parent contract. My child was born at. Wade. Wow. He just wrote in, just like I had an abortion, just like as me doing mm-hmm. something. And they were like, we had to take it down because we were getting angry responses, but I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen this one before.
Mini baby. You got to just have a whole day. Look at this. I mean, they're recreating their babies in a little basket.
Mm-hmm. I used to do this racist.
So you can wear it around.
I had a racist character I would do on Yahoo Answers. I had an account as like a black woman that was trying to become a lawyer.
Yeah.
And I got a top contributor badge in like one of the sections, which means you have like you're like an authority on Yahoo Answers. You know, it's not like a moderator, but you know, I don't know. You're an expert on Yahoo Answers by answering questions that were about to expire that had no answers. So you're automatically like the best answer.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you just do that, here, let me see if I can find the account.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm gonna pull it up. But they had to remove the account. But the thing with when you get banned from Yahoo Answers, they can't remove your questions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they block your account.
So you just can't get in.
Right.
Daniqua?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was her name? Daniqua?
Yeah, hold on, let me see.
What if I'm an atheist? God, yeah, I just remember that guy, his face, the look of him. I wish I could find that.
Which guy?
The guy who's posing with his dead kid.
Oh.
For a family picture.
You ever send people to Goatsy back in the day? Goat sex, that guy pulling his asshole open?
Oh, on weightlifter guy?
No, not weightlifter. Goatsy.
But that weightlifter guy had his asshole like fall out, right?
Yeah, he's that was a different one. Well, there used to be only like four pictures on the internet that were offensive.
Can't find it, huh?
Yeah, no, this is it. Any of the ones with...
Is it easier to get a lawyer diploma in Britain? Yahoo answers. I was thinking if I got a lawyer diploma in Britain, it might be easier than if I got it in the U.S. because I was thinking about moving to Britain anyways. So if I got the lawyer diploma there, it would be better.
Yeah.
That's not you.
No, that's me.
This is you?
Yeah, that's me. But
you asked the question.
I asked the questions, but like people just they get mad. They just get fucking mad.
You can't even spell. How are you a lawyer? How are you a lawyer diploma? What's a lawyer diploma?
Well, here's the thing. See, look, watch what it does. If you go to the profile, it'll like redirect you to the Yahoo. But for a second, if you come on, you piece of shit. Yeah, there you go. So you can, because they can't delete the questions once they're on there, because it's like still a database of information.
Yeah.
And especially if you're like answering other people's questions. So you can just do dumb shit and then it stays on their website forever.
It's just pesting.
Yeah, right.
But your thing is that once like the internet has become people like, now it's like people get so angry that you can just troll everybody.
Well, yeah.
I think you said something along those lines.
People are trying to be angry, so it's not fun anymore.
Right.
You know,
the way you said it before was like, in the old days, it was really hard to troll somebody, but now we get the reward of having so easily to get people upset that it's like,
oh, yeah. No, like, you just have to
reap your benefits.
You have to be yourself. That's it. And now you get to have people furious at you all the time.
Furious.
Dude, it's insane how angry people get on the internet now.
I love when people ask, how dare you, anything, and mm-hmm. I want to tell them all, like, step back, think about it, how dare I?
Mm-hmm.
Is this guy a monster?
Mm-hmm.
Is he like Charles Taylor from Liberia? Or maybe they weren't trying to tell their kid to commit suicide because she was transsexual.
Oh, right.
Maybe there's more to it that you're just not seeing. Oh, she was 16. Yeah, she probably shouldn't get a fucking dip chopped off at 16.
Right. Well, once somebody thinks they're right, it's kind of like
it's
a
done.
Free pass to do whatever the fuck they want.
So Nietzsche said it was a problem with philosophy in his time.
Mm-hmm.
He said he saw all the philosophers, instead of trying to figure out how we should feel about something, I was compared to, like, is homosexuality like correct or not?
Mm-hmm.
What they would do is they would come in with a theory already that, no, it is not correct. And then they would try to prove that by going, well, you can't have kids if you're homosexual. So yeah. That shows it. But instead, but what they should be doing is, I don't know if it's correct or not. Let me weigh the pros and cons out, and then I can decide whether or not this should be like allowable. But people just have an opinion already, and they just want to stick to it.
Good Nietzsche plug, too.
Thanks.
Good. You got that in there.
I mean, when you say good Nietzsche plug, really you're saying way to show that you've read some Nietzsche.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I always do that when I in LA. I'm like, I don't say, I was listening to radio. I go, I was listening to NPR, and I heard the story. And it's like, why'd you say NPR, you name dropper?
Right, exactly.
You think you're smarter? Yeah. So what are you going to do now for a living situation?
I found I'm living with a Chinese family. I found like a different, similar situation.
How much is this, and what's its story?
600. It's like a
month.
Yeah,
up from 300?
Yeah, up from 300. So it's a little steep. But I looked at two other rooms that were both like under 500.
Yeah?
Yeah, same thing.
What?
Just small rooms in Chinatown.
Were there ever fights in those hallways and stuff?
Nah, man. That one was like, one time some guy wandered into the building who like wasn't supposed to be in there, and one of the guys like, you know, threw his head into the wall and like threw him down the stairs and shit. But that was like, you know, that wasn't a fight. That was somebody that wasn't supposed to be in our building.
Oh.
But yeah, it never really got too crazy. Actually, the most disturbing thing, you know, other than like all the jacking off, which is like, you're just gonna have to, if you live with fucking, you know, six other men.
Wait, and there's no ceilings, so you can hear the jacking off?
No, there's ceilings. It's just like they're thin walls in the place. So, okay. You know.
Wait, what about the chicken wire on the top?
That was a different place. Okay, okay. Not my place. No, we had like drop tiles.
Right.
So, you know, it's not that much.
Would you hide shit in the drop tiles?
No. I don't have anything to hide. What am I gonna put in there?
Did you feel secure in this
Popeyes?
Place?
Yeah. No, I was fine.
my leftover Popeyes.
Right, yeah, exactly. Shit for the rats. You'd hear rats running around. It'd be like rats fucking in the ceiling all the time.
Were they ever in your apartment? They ever go into...
Nah, I never saw one actually in the place. But rats are all over Chinatown.
Yeah, they are. It's like, I looked for a place my first year out here, and I was like, this is nice. And the guy was like, it's March. You don't want to live near these dumpsters in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
It smells horrible.
You know, and people bitch about Chinatown smelling bad, but I never really had a problem with that.
There's certain times you come around a corner, like, oh, what's that smell? You're like, it's a restaurant?
Yeah, yeah.
That's, people are eating at that smell?
Right, yes, garlic feet.
But it's their refuse also. It's the gone bad refuse of the garlic feet. It's not even the prepared garlic feet. It's the fucking shit left over that's aged.
Yeah, no, I mean, there were people, there was always Chinese people in my building or in my place that did not live there. They were cooking. They'd come into the kitchen and they'd make the most disgusting shit. I don't know what the fuck it was, but it was like rotten fish, like, you know, cooked in expired butter. It's like that was
expired butter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the recipe.
Yeah, yeah. You're
like, no, you can't use regular butter. It won't taste right.
Well, the thing is, like, country style Chinese food, and I'm basing this on assumptions.
Okay. But, you're like, let me stop right there and just tell you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just based on my sense of smell and deduction. It's like they, because it's like a poor fucking country, and it's like, Imagine if, like, you know, like, people from, like, the hills in West Virginia, like, were able to come to New York and open restaurants, you know, and they're like, this is what I learned how to cook in a fucking boot, you know, with gasoline.
Yeah, you put a possum in a boot in the sun.
Right,
and
exactly.
Cook it up.
And people are like, ooh, this must, authentic Chinese. This must be good. What is this? And it's fucking poison. You're eating.
Right.
You're eating some fucking poison that they've adapted to.
There's a bunch of cuisines, which I call dirt food, where, like, the only thing you're paying for extra is atmosphere.
Yeah.
So, like, Mexican food is dirt food.
Nah, man. Mexican food is fucking delicious.
Okay. I'm not saying delicious. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it's dirt food made by dirt people. The same thing with Chinese food. It's the level you get on street burritos is the same level you're getting on high-end burritos.
Yeah.
The only thing you're paying for is the music that's in the place. But it doesn't cost a lot to make it.
Well, no. I mean, you can get really fucking
good. A steak
good.
Is not dirt food, but a burrito, a taco,
yeah,
is the shit
steak
they sell
burritos.
On the street.
There's burritos with, like, good cuts of meat in there.
Yeah, but okay, it's just a better version of the dirt food.
I guess.
At its base, this is just for gutter people.
Yeah, maybe.
And Chinese food is the same way. Those noodles are made for
cheap
consumption.
I think there's, like, a lot of variety in Chinese food, too. Because, like, I mean, again, it is a big country. They
it's
have
a massive,
like,
country.
They have, like, seven different languages. So, I mean...
It's amazing people say, like, oh, Chinese food is all this. I'm like, no. That's like saying American food is something. We're like, Southern is way different than Maine food.
Yeah.
And Maine food is different than California cuisine.
Yeah.
So, like, Mongolian is totally different than fucking Taiwan.
Right. Yeah.
It's not really China anymore, I guess.
Well, Taiwan's, like, basically China.
Taiwan and Hong Kong are both basically China.
Yeah. Well, Hong Kong is China.
Sort of, except you need to use your passport to go from mainland China to Hong Kong.
Didn't the UK give it?
1999.
Well, UK gave it back to China.
Not gave it back. The deal was we get it for 100 years, 1899 to 1999.
So
they lost their lease.
Okay.
The lease was up.
Yeah, but it's now China again, right?
Yeah, but they're still, like...
It's not an independent...
That's what all the riots are about. Because, like, we want to vote for our own guy. And China's like, well, you don't get to do that in China. Like, well, we're not China. Like, yeah you are now. But it's still, you got to get your passport stamped. And if you leave and come back, your visa is expired.
Hmm. Well, how does that affect the food? I guess that's...
It doesn't.
Yeah, right.
Hong Kong's just English influence, so it's nicer.
And I doubt Taiwanese food's really that much different.
Probably not, yeah.
It's funny, it's Taiwan...
Well, it's also Canton instead of
Mandarin.
Yeah.
Well, they don't speak either Mandarin or Cantonese here. They speak some other fucking...
Really?
Yeah, they speak...
Yiddish?
Like Fuzhou or some shit, I think.
Really?
Is the dialect.
I learned all this Chinese words, and then I went to Hong Kong, and they're like, oh, we don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, ah, what?
Well, I took Mandarin for 2 years. I forgot it all.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I was never good at it.
Shusha. That's all I remember. Shusha.
Yeah.
Soft, sure.
But, I don't know. I mean, Taiwan doesn't have black people at all.
At all?
No. Yeah, they don't. Well, they don't have anything other than Chinese people.
Taiwan is the people who fled.
Yeah, because they were loyal to Chiang Kai-shek.
And they were like,
loyalists.
We want this old government. They're like, we're gonna keep. We can't have our government building there. We're gonna move it for a while until we get back on our feet. And then it's been a long time, and they haven't got back on their feet. But what they did is they went to Taiwan, and they just subjugated everyone who was there.
Well, if you Google it, there's it might be closed now, but there was like a store, like a sneaker and like her urban store, in Taiwan somewhere. There's pictures of it online, and the name was just Nigger King. What? That was the name
of the sneaker
store.
Oh,
and or like you know the fucking you can look it up now.
Like Falafel King.
Yeah. We'll because they don't have racism there because they don't have other races. So to them,
Hong Kong is so racist against mainland Chinese people.
Right. Yeah. So for them, you know, it'd be like if we were making fun of purple people here.
Racism in China.
Just go to images. Go to the images.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
Wow, no, look Nigger at that. King.
Yeah, they have a Hitler's Cross Cafe too.
Wow, from to Mega Joys. What is it? I wonder what the saying is. Hitler's Cross is CR, and the O is a swastika. Fried chicken takeout called. Wow.
Yeah, because they don't know any better.
Opens in Thailand. I'm going to Thailand.
Yeah, you got to check out.
I want to go.
Hey, you got to fuck a little boy, and you got to
look. Colonel Sanders is actually fucking Hitler wearing the Colonel Sanders outfit.
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder how long it'll be before the Jewish scum chimp out.
Is it Stormfront? No, it's VNN.
Okay. What's VNN?
It's like Stormfront.
I was on the front page of whiterevolution.com.
Oh, were you?
Org. Yeah, it was for my Amazing Races videos. And
were they conflicted?
They were conflicted.
No, that's great.
They were conflicted. Yeah. The quote was, this Jew's got the right idea. We like what he's saying, but we don't like him.
One of my favorite posts on Stormfront, I found it one time. It was like it was either the Golden Compass or Narnia, or one of those fucking, like something that came out around that time. It was like a fantasy movie, like Golden Compass or something. And it was like, hey, did anyone, and that's the best part about like all those Nazi forums is because like 90% of the posts are like, look at this fucking, you know, look at this kike is fucking up, you know, government in Illinois or something.
By the way, can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
That's the same type of response as those angry feminists.
Yeah.
Look at this thing. I'm not going to research it, but look at this thing.
Well, yeah, it's people mad about something, but then it's still an internet forum, so it'll be like, you know, like, oh, the goddamn blacks are rioting in Ferguson, and the next post is like, hey, has anyone seen Eat, Pray, Love? It's like, what'd you think? Me and my wife went to it last week. I thought it was okay.
Right. It's not all rage. It's right. Rage yeah. No. Recipes.
It's still a forum. Right. You know, like, where should I take my daughter for her fifth birthday?
Is Chuck E. Cheese's
worth
it?
Yeah. Yeah. But so somebody saw like a Golden Compass or one of those movies, and like there was a response. I could probably Google and find it, but some guy was like, you know, I was enjoying it until those goddamn nigger centaurs showed up, and that was that was his problem. Was it the centaurs were black, which is unrealistic to him. he was mad that the centaurs
ruined the movie for him.
Yeah, they
ruined it.
They weren't proud Aryan centaurs.
And it's like, yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's time and place.
It's a children's movie.
These nigger centaurs.
Yeah.
It took me out of it. One star. Like, what about the rest of the movie? You didn't like the rest of it? No. I couldn't get back into it after that.
Yeah. No,
it's all propaganda.
That's the best post on that website.
Oh, that's great. So when you looked for this place, did you find any others that were like, I know you did. You told me already.
Yeah. I went and looked at a couple other. I have an apartment broker that just like deals with like these
illegal tenements.
Well, I don't even know if this one's illegal. I mean, it is, it probably is. It's because the room's too small for somebody to be living in it. I forget what the square footage requirement for somebody for like a living room is in New York, but I know it's lower than that. But this one at least has a window.
Window's important.
Yeah.
Soder just said he's now getting his first window in like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Because he was, but some of those places don't have. I'm conflicted when I'm looking for apartments. I'm like, what helped me sleep?
Yeah.
So one place I don't.
Oh man, there's.
I don't know what time it is.
I didn't know. I didn't like. I'm adjusting to the noise now, and it's fucking. You know, because again, I didn't have sunlight, so I'd wake up and I would think it was like, you know, like, oh, I'm up early, and I'd look at my watch, noon. And it's like noon.
In Israel, they have these things called a tris.
What's that?
Tris is, well, it's inside, it's in between the two layers of glass of the window.
Uh-huh.
So the window will have two, like, or it's outside the window, but it's connected into the wall. Like, it goes into, you know, and it's just these slats that come down, and you can lower them, so it just cuts out the noise, and they're about, you know, a few inches apart, and they're dotted in between. So you can lower them all the way, and then only sunlight that comes in is these like circle dots that are like the length of the window every like 2 inches or so, and then you can lower it even more, and then it cuts down those dots, and all the slats connect, and it's just black.
Yeah,
and because they take like fiesta type things.
Yeah,
they take the sleep. So for an hour, it's like, yeah, make it black, and then get up and go to work.
Yeah,
but like you don't know what time it is.
Yeah, no, that's how it was like in this last place. Which it does get a little depressing.
Yeah.
You know, you have to go outside and fucking see whether the sun's out or not.
Did you have to force yourself to go outside?
No. I mean, I would usually get up and go get a coffee before I started work anyways. So,
what was the bathroom like in those places?
It was disgusting, but, you know, like, again, I don't really mind.
Would you have to wait for stalls?
Sometimes. Well, it's not stalls. It's just like one half bath and one full bath, and they were at the end of the hall.
Boys and girls?
Well, yeah, but I mean, no women live there.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, I interrupted you when I said, hold on a second.
Oh, I don't know. Were we still talking about those centaurs?
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Okay, you got back to it. Yeah, okay, you got it. Good.
Yeah.
I interrupt people and I forget to get back a lot. So this other lady you try to find a place with, what went down with that? Tell the people.
Yeah, no, she just like deals with like Chinese people and like she'll, yeah. It's like, you know, I mean, comics are always looking for a spot. Like, she's a good person to hit
and
up.
How much does she take?
She charges a broker's fee, but, you know, those are you know, in proportion to whatever the rent is.
15% of the yearly rate.
No. It's just, you know, it's like a one-time, like, $300, $400, that sort of thing. Yeah.
What about the place you found that they were like, no, you can't. They refused to rent it to you.
Yeah, one place wouldn't let me rent because they wanted a girl. It was like an old Chinese lady that didn't want.
That seems illegal.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, it's probably illegal if you do it the other way around. What? Like if you wouldn't let a woman rent a room.
Right.
That'd be
more illegal than if you won't let a man rent it.
Yeah, you get
the
death penalty for that, I think. On the internet?
On the internet, it really is. Like, they're a protected race.
No, it's
they're like rhinos.
Yeah, it's like car insurance or any one of the other million things that
you pay more if you're a man.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Because you're more likely to fuck shit up.
I guess maybe
they always trying to in Maryland. They always trying to talk about Greek life and how their grades are better
mm-hmm.
than not Greek life. And they're like, let's break that down. And then you realize sorority girls have like 20 points higher as a GPA than the norm, and mm-hmm. fraternity guys have like 25 points lower than the norm.
Yeah.
So it's like average out, it's a little bit higher or whatever, but like...
Well, the benefit is like if you're in a fraternity, you're going to have like more job opportunities because you have all of those fraternity brothers to rely on once you hit the job
once
market.
Once you get out.
So your grades don't mean shit. Get
as
the
much
fucking
as your
diploma, yeah, and then you're in the fraternity and then you have a job.
Some Bennett, I forget his name, he played for the Seahawks. They were talking about the NCAA. And he was like, because he was responding to this effect, like, but yeah, but you get a diploma. And it's like, but getting a diploma from the school that's not teaching you anything, that's like getting a free burger from a hamburger place. It doesn't cost them anything.
Yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
haven't been put out at all. They're not spending money on these athletes. They're just
right.
like, here's a piece of paper at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, but you haven't educated me. I don't go to classes because I don't have time because of football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you cook in these places?
I cooked in the last one.
A hot plate?
No, there was a stove. The oven didn't work.
In the kitchen?
Yeah, in the kitchen. Oh. Yeah.
The oven didn't work?
The oven did not work. No.
Could you tell them, like, hey, man, the oven's out?
Oh, no. I mean, it was like the place was a fuck. We can go over there afterwards and take a look at it. But, yeah, no, I mean, it was fucked up. It was gross. For the most part, I didn't cook. And then I started, like, trying to clean my diet up in the last couple months.
To cook?
Yeah, so I would start cooking again.
Will you stop drinking?
Well, I've been sober for a while, but, you know, I mean...
You have been?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How long?
18 months.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. No weed either?
No. Well, here and there. I mean, it doesn't really do anything for me anymore. I used to smoke a lot when I was younger, but...
It's because New York, man. That's why it doesn't do anything for you.
No, before that...
Weed here sucks.
It's just like, it doesn't elevate my mood. All it does...
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm just...
Yeah, it turns on people. It just makes you back to even.
Yeah, well, not even. I'm just like, I feel exactly the same, except I'm confused and it's harder to think.
Right.
And like, I make associations differently. So like, if I'm trying to write, it might help me like think about something in a different way, but I'm not happier and I don't get.
But in the beginning, it did make you happier and more like giggly and like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes to a place where it's like, oh, I'm just high. It's not like, but then sometimes you get like so giggly and enjoying life because of it, and like everything's beautiful. But then, yeah, you lose that.
Sometimes, you know, it's because sometimes I just want that. You know what? When I was like 17, I had like one friend, and we would go to the movies like 3 times a week.
Yeah,
and we would get as high as possible.
Sure,
and then go, and I would just see everything, and like that was the best.
The best.
It's the fucking best. Like where, you know, I have to write down the name of the movie I want to see and just show it to the person.
Because you're so high.
Because I'm too high to fucking, you know. I remember one time I went to the theater with my friend and we got the tickets and we get down to the concession stand. And I'm like, I want one of those giant pretzels. And the guy looks at me and he's like, did you want cheese with that? And I looked at him, and then I looked at my friend, and then I looked back at him, and then the guy looks at my friend, and he looks at me, and he's like, did you want cheese with that? I was like, I don't know.
Like, there's so much, man. Yeah, why are you bothering with all this?
Yeah, and I think we were going to see either, like, Wicker Man or Lady in the Water or something. Some terrible movie.
How many... like employees of the movies have to deal with or know by sight now that people are act out on weed.
Well, see, that's the thing, man. If I started smoking again, it would just be, you know, to go do the, you know, I think somebody else was talking about it, but it's funny. I feel the same way, but the only desire I have to smoke weed now is like the same impulse I have to like play video games or do a lot of things where it's just like, oh, I just want to be young again. Not that I'm old.
But when you're like, I remember when that was fun.
Right, exactly.
And then you do it. And you're like, oh, this is not as
it
fun anymore.
Mean shit. It's like watching old Simpsons episodes. You know, it's like still funny, but
well, Christina and Big J said they went and smoked. They've been not smoking for like a year now,
mm-hmm.
and they were in Philadelphia, and he said their diet goes out the window. He said Philadelphia to him is like white trash Vegas.
Yeah,
white trash or Vegas. And they smoked 2 cigarettes each.
Yeah,
and it was just like it seems like the thing to do there. And the Christine, the way she said it was like you remember like oh yeah, cigarettes, that's fun. And you smoke, you're like oh yeah, it makes my clothes smell. And my breathing gets worse. You just forget about the bad parts.
Yeah.
And so then when you're like, yeah, that'll be great again. You're like, you're leaving out the bad shit in your memory.
Well, there's no bad shit about getting high as fuck and going and seeing movies. Other than I was spending like $100 a week at fucking movies.
Jill Sobule made the song about from the Clueless soundtrack. That's where I discovered her. But she had some other song about when I used to steal from BMG, just left and right. Oh, dude, we had the best scam.
Yeah.
I worked at the North Hill Service Desk at University of Maryland.
Uh-huh.
And so we logged the packages in. So we would just order BMG and Columbia House to closets, to bathrooms. Like they all had their own room number.
Oh, wow.
So we knew. So when any package came in to a location that wasn't a real residence, you know, we were just like looking at, like, hey, who's Mrs. Fields?
Yeah.
Who's Anne Arundel? You know? It's just like, oh, that's me. And like, okay, here's just stuff. We all got fired, but like.
Oh, this is a package for Auntie Anne's?
Yeah, exactly. It was great. It was great. We had so many CDs.
I love that line in Cable Guy?
Yeah.
Where he's like, it's like Jack Black reading off like the aliases that the Cable Guy had used.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's like, look at this. These are all these fake employee names that he's come up with. And they're all like TV characters, but the last one's just like Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah. It's so fun. But anyway, I had this Jill. She made a song about like ex-boyfriends and forgetting, like just remembering his great smile.
Mm.
It's like, oh, what a great smile. And then like, oh, yeah. When you get back with them, it's like, oh, yeah, you treat me like shit.
Mm-hmm.
You insult me and needle me.
Yeah.
You just forget after time. That's just what happens.
Yeah, I don't remember any bad parts of weed. It's just I never have the impulse. I've like compared it to, it's like sort of like ice cream for me, I guess, where mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, it's great, but I don't
crave it.
Right, exactly. I'm like, I have no impulse right now to go out and buy a bunch of ice cream. And I can pass it in the fucking store, and I'm like, yeah, I know, it'd be nice, but it doesn't.
The only thing bad about weed and movies, it mm-hmm. makes them all way more intense and more funny.
Yeah.
But acting, you can see through bad acting so more easily.
But that makes it funny.
I know. And you're like, wow, they're just reading their lines. Everyone else is acting. This guy's just reading his lines.
Yeah.
And people go, no, they were fine. Like, no, they were not fine. Yeah. I mean, I watched The Wire every night at my house, you know, when I caught up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I would watch it high. I'd be home and watch it high at midnight after spots. And that black lesbian cop is just garbage. She's garbage as an actress. Yeah, you can see through it so bad. You're like, you're just reading lines. Not in every moment, but in a lot of moments.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, Bubbles was great. The main cop guy was great. You felt like they were just real people, and then this is an actress.
I saw Steve Earle on the streets, and
who's Steve Earle?
He's a folk musician, but he's Bubbles' sponsor on The Wire.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that bearded guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of Maryland people.
Well, he's from Texas.
Oh,
yeah, he's not a Maryland guy.
Oh well, then forget it.
Yeah, no, they do though. There was a bunch of like shitty comics that were on that show.
In it?
Yeah, Mike Diesel, the old booker of
Mike Diesel was in there?
As an extra. He's like in the background. There's that scene where, I think it's the one where like Rawls is in the gay club.
Yeah.
And then fucking Mike Diesel's just in the back like having a fake.
From Wiseacres? Yeah, Wise Guys?
Yeah, what was it called? Wiseacres.
Wiseacres.
Yeah.
It's Northern Virginia at the top of some restaurant, the bottom of some like
hotel.
Yeah,
it was in the basement of the Best Western in Tyson's Corner.
Dude, it was great. I remember going to do that room
because
they had weekends I was trying to get, and he was like, nah. Which at the time I thought I was ready, and I probably wasn't. Those are like legit B level headliners.
Sometimes, I mean, they would get like, you know, like Stanhope would come through.
Oh, really? That's even better.
Once, I think.
To me, it was like mostly guys that were like just worked the roads for the last 10 years.
You know, it would be all the guys. You know, it's like Headshot. I've seen a billion times, but I've never actually seen do comedy. The drum comic. Have you seen that Headshot around the clubs? There was all these like. Yeah, like those guys. There's like, you know, C room headliners.
That's what Larry the Cable Guy was until he caught on.
Yeah. And, you go to any one of those shit rooms, you know, and their pictures are on the wall. But there was one guy that was like the drum comedian in an old drum set.
Wow.
That was this whole act. Cut several midgets.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of real big fat guys.
Magicians, hypnotists.
Yeah.
Larry the Cable Guy, his old Headshot was cables all around him. Do you remember that?
No.
Dude, he was wearing the overalls and he had little cables that were all around his baseball. It was just like, oh, I get it.
No.
And then he became massive because none of those guys wanted to open.
Yeah.
So like, get that fucking idiot to come open.
Yeah.
He's got a good character.
Yeah, no.
Boom.
None of those guys really get out of there, though. That I don't even know. Like, what happens to all those like old road guys? Where are they now?
I think they get jobs eventually. Jobs.
I mean, how can you? I mean,
death.
Yeah. I mean, there has to be death.
I mean, like, you end up working at a TGI Fridays and you become a manager because you're a little, like, wiser for the road. Yeah. I don't know. They're all alcoholics, right, a lot of them.
I think about Diesel and it's like, you know, he lives in West Virginia now.
Does he really?
Yeah. He's still doing, I mean, he lived in West Virginia.
He's a looper. He goes out and tries to make some money doing this thing.
But he's got to be pushing 50 now, and it's like he just sucks. There's all these guys that
I never
just
knew
like,
his act. I don't remember his acting anyway.
Oh, he's terrible. He's so fucking bad.
I remember going up there, though.
Yeah.
And there was like an open mic. Was on Tuesdays and Wednesdays or something like that. And like you had to sign up for the next week. I was like, come on, man. I'm not going to be here next week. Is there any way I can just go up?
Yeah.
They finagled it so I could the next day. And I was talking to this guy. We had both been doing comedy for 2 years. I was like, oh, cool. Me was just in LA and him was just Northern Virginia, DC area. So we're like, we're probably about the same. And then we both went up and it was like, oh, you're terrible.
Yeah.
And I realized it was either because he has no one to pace himself against, where I had like Andrew Dice Clay and Joe Rogan and all these like legit, massive, really talented guys that I'm like, I got to be like that. And they had some B-level headliner they're trying to be like. And also, I got to get up 7 times a week and he got two.
Yeah. No, I mean, Wiseacres, there were like talented guys.
It was so good though.
Yeah,
that open mic was the guy. I remember the guy going, "Oh, it's just open mic." I'm like, "Just an open mic? There's 85 people here, regular people."
Well, there was a Wiseacres crew, and like some of those guys, you know, they're still doing comedy.
Mike Stork is great. I love Mike Stork.
Stork, Andy Klein, Rob.
Andy
Mayer.
Klein, that's right. Yeah, who's Rob? Who?
Rob Mayer.
I don't remember him.
Joe Robinson, Randolph T.
Randolph T. A little bit.
Randolph, Andy, and I don't think Rob has any involvement, but Randolph and Andy are involved with the Arlington Draft House.
So really?
They have a hand in booking it or something, but they run like the open mic there.
I talked to Andy about it for a little bit. That's probably when he like took it over.
Yeah, because that's sort of the successor to the Wiseacres mic.
Hmm.
But Andy and Randolph took the mic away from Diesel at Wiseacres, and then,
a coup?
Sort of. I don't know. They had to go through Mike to get it, but then Mike just drove the club into the ground because he kept rescheduling everything. He moved the mic around to the point where nobody knew when it was. And yeah, he was doing a bunch of dumb shit. He had a contest at one point that was like if you won the contest, you got a free night in the hotel.
Really?
I don't want to be here for this. Right. You get to stay in the Best Western that's 20 miles from your house.
I really wish I could have, I can go back in time now and see what those shows were like, because I remember it being fucking killer. I did a guest spot on a weekend show once, and I did the open mic once, and it was like flying.
Yeah.
It was just so great.
Yeah, I mean, I
wonder now if it was just like, oh, you're just a beginner.
Yeah, I kind of regret, because I fell in, when I started in D.C., there was, definitely a, the City Comics and then the Wiseacres guys.
Oh, right.
And there still exists that to an extent, but it's not, there's no more Wiseacres anymore. So it's like, there's this whole group of comedians, and some of them are, actually pretty funny, that only do the rooms in the suburbs for whatever reason. They're just never.
In LA, we have that Valley Comics.
Yeah.
Call them.
They just never go into the city to do comedy. And when I started in D.C., it was like the
Long Island Comics here.
Yeah.
Come on, man, test yourself.
Right. When I started in D.C., I got, I did a Wiseacres mic. Do you know Norm Wilkerson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We went to barbecue together. Yeah. Austin, were you with us?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was that place we went to? Drove to it.
Kreutz's? Lockhart, Texas was the town.
Lockhart, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they ran out of fucking goddamn brisket one before me.
They ran out of... That was my suggestion. I dragged everybody out there.
Oh, yeah.
And then
it was
they
fun. Who went with us? Metzger,
Soder, and Mike Lawrence.
Yeah, and Wilkerson?
Yeah, Wilkerson drove.
Wilkerson, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, no, me and him used to hang out at Wiseacres, and there was there was that divide. I don't know. I guess separate cliques. It's like if you were a city guy, you were doing those city shows, and the best comedians in D.C. were all city comics. Now, there was talented Wiseacres guys at the time, but Wiseacres was like...
It's just too easy. The San Diego comics are the same way. They come to L.A. and it's time to do the open mic at the L.A. store instead of the San Diego store. And it's mm-hmm. You'd bomb. Because welcome to the fucking big leagues, man. No one's supportive here.
Right. And
one's trying to like you here.
I kicked myself for that first 3 years I spent in D.C. because I would just, once I found Wiseacres and I knew that I could get up every week, I was like, this is the place I hang out. And because D.C. at the time...
Getting up's more important.
D.C. at the time was like Rory Scovel.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was Rory, Ryan Connor, Aparna.
Really?
Yeah, Hampton.
Hampton Yount's from there, too?
Hampton. But, yeah, this was all 2005 till 2008. Me and Hampton were both Wiseacres guys, but Hampton started doing, I think he might have just been mainly Wiseacres, and then he started doing more city shit. But after my first 6 months in comedy, I all but stopped going anywhere but Wiseacres. And in retrospect, that was fucking dumb because it's a dead-end road.
Right.
And I started when I was 16.
It's LOL here.
Yeah. I started when I was 16, so I missed those prime years where you get to be oh, wow, it doesn't matter how fucking shitty you are.
Because you're a 16-year-old.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah, you could have gotten spots all over the city.
I know. Well, maybe not. I mean, I was a shitty comic.
I know, but they're still
yeah, yeah,
if you
yeah.
overcame, you did it.
Well, you know Wardell, right? Brandon Wardell?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he started at 16 too, same town. Look at him now. He's got a fucking, I mean, I'm older than he is, but
I don't know where he is now.
No, he's doing pretty well. Odenkirk did a double album with him.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. That guy.
And he's just getting shit left. I mean, I like Wardell, but fuck him.
Didn't this lady not let you stay there because you wanted to cook?
Oh yeah, no, I asked her if I could cook and she was like, No, you call tell Cindy you can't live here.
Tell Cindy you can't live here?
Yeah,
sure, I'll pass the word on for you.
Yeah, yeah. You can't cook in this apartment.
That was the one who only wanted a woman?
No, she was going to let me live there, but because I asked if I cooked, she was worried that I'd be in the apartment during the day.
And she didn't want you there during
the day. She just wanted me to pay $500 a month to sleep there, and then in the summer also pay for air conditioning.
How much is it for the air conditioning?
And an extra $80 or some shit.
That's a crazy thing, though. With market value, it's like... And letting the market choose the price. It's like you can be like, well, fuck that. I'm never going to live there. And she goes, okay. Well, until I don't find people that will take that,
mm-hmm.
then I'll continue to make that the deal.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she'll rent it out easily to somebody else. I mean, even as shitty as...
I look for a place. What? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, even as shitty as that room I was in, because I initially wanted to look at other places, and I was like, I'll get back to you about that, like that first room. She was like, oh no, I have someone coming in an hour, so you need to make a decision now.
Wow.
Like, all right, fuck it. And yeah, I'll take the room.
Man. Did you when you see a place like this, what do you think? When you see regular places that people live in?
I mean, this is nice.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is like a nice apartment. But you pay what, like $2,400?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, do you get like jealous of these things?
No.
Or do you be like, I'm going to live in a regular place like this at some point?
I mean, maybe it's something. I don't really give a shit.
You don't care?
Yeah, I don't
care. Dude, that's such power. Yeah. Once you don't care about being poor, they can't hold anything over you. All they can hold over you is, we're not going to let you do spots anymore. But saying we're not giving you money, it's like, I don't need it.
Right.
Because I'm fine with these things.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to have money at some point, but then it's like, what do you fucking spend it on? I don't have a wife, you know, I don't have a kid, you know, I don't drink anymore, so I don't really enjoy anything. It's like, you know, I don't...
You know what it's for?
What?
I had to cancel this Australia gig.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to Australia for the Melbourne Comedy Festival and for some other stuff, and then Thailand and some Hollywood shit came up.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do it anymore. And they're like, well, we can reschedule it for like October. And we're rescheduling for October, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane. But they were like, you know, we already paid for these tickets, these flights.
Yeah.
And you're canceling for something beyond us. And I was like, yeah, I'll pay for the flight. Sure. I mean, it's like, you don't go out of pocket for that, because I canceled. I'll pay for it. And they're like, well, you're not going to make any money then. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Fine,
I'll pay you. Because I have some money. So it's like, okay. But when I had like 12 grand a year, it's like, oh, then I'll never be able to come back to Australia because I can't do that.
Right. Well, I guess that's true. And I mean, I had enough money that like I could move when I had, you know, some shit come up. But I don't know. My career is kind of, nothing's going on for me. So I don't, it'll be a while, if ever.
Before you have money.
Yeah, honestly.
Are you thinking about quitting?
No, I mean, I can't. I thought about quitting a lot in the past. I mean, it'll be 10 years in October that I've been doing comedy.
Okay.
And like when I was like 6 years in, I was like, all right, well, it's time for me to either move to New York or L.A. And I moved to L.A. And like I spent 7 months like unable to get on shows. A lot of that was my fault. I couldn't stop drinking. But
sure.
That
held you back?
Yeah. Because I'm not a very good drunk. And then also drink too much. And it's like you can't. You know, I don't know anybody, so you can't go out to shows and get trashed, and like, you know, nobody's gonna be like, ah, well, he's a good comic.
You're an annoying drunk,
right? It's like, nobody knows who the fuck I am.
Got to do your job before you fucking booze,
right? Yeah.
I heard what's his name was talking to the guy from Back to the Future who does comedy, Biff from Back to the Future.
He does comedy.
Yeah, he's been doing comedy for a while.
Okay.
Wilson, I think.
I don't know.
Anyway, he showed up at the Comedy Store in the main room. They had that guy who was doing that comedy class.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? And Doug Stanhope wrote a big piece about him. He was stealing money from people.
Yeah.
Open micers.
I remember that.
Kyle Cease.
Yeah.
I talked to Kyle about it. It's mostly just about like realizing your potential. It's barely a comedy class.
Yeah.
And then but he gets these speakers that come in. And one of them was Tim Wilson. That's who it is. And I was like, what are you, I was there shooting some video with my friends. I was like, what are you going to tell these guys? Because I'm always skeptical of like what you're going to tell somebody at a comedy class.
Yeah.
And he got such a good answer. He was like, I'm going to tell them there's going to be a lot of drugs and booze in this. And if you're going to continue in it, I've lost friends. So you need to learn how to handle your alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, that shit is great advice for a comedy
class.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's real shit that we do need to know and nobody tells us.
Yeah. No, I mean, somebody...
Don't fuck your friend's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Don't fucking do blow the night of a showcase.
Yeah, I mean, I try not to...
Do it in moderation.
I try not to, like, sleep with comics or fucking,
yeah.
You know, not that it's like, oh, all these female comics want to fuck me, but, you know, like, I mean...
No, but it happens sometimes.
Right, yeah. You might try to avoid, like, any of that. I mean, I don't drink anymore. But, you know, that really only does so much. At the end of the day, I'm still, like, another fucking white dude, you know, doing...
Exactly.
...jokes.
And you're also like me a lot, and like a lot of guys, where it's like... We're not the best self-promoters. It feels mm-hmm. douchey to be like, dude, I'm really funny. Can I get up?
Yeah.
And it's like, so unless you're doing that, they're like, how would I, you're just some guy who's hanging out, some quiet
right.
guy.
Yeah.
Like, I want them to see my talent, but it's like, how are they gonna?
Yeah, and I don't know. And then shit comes out of nowhere. Like, I mean, I got Montreal. I showcased for Montreal 3 times, which is-
When did you get Montreal?
2012.
Was I there?
No. I don't think so.
What are we in now? 15, 14 I was there. 13 I was not, 12 I was there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I guess I didn't see that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Maybe I wasn't.
Yeah, I showcased for it three times. The first year I showcased for it, I had the best set I could possibly have. I was like, if that doesn't get it for me, then I'm not getting Montreal. And
didn't get it.
You know, I think Jeff Singer was the guy that was like there, and he was like, that was great. I can't wait to see what you do next year. You know, really? Like right off the bat.
A lot of it's like that too, where it's like, dude, we've already promised eight people.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I knew immediately, like, oh, I'm not getting it. Okay. The next year, cool, I did like a completely different set, and I like did the best that I could. And I was like, all right, if I don't get it, then I don't get it. And then I forget who, I was told, like, oh, you don't need to do callbacks. You've already made it. Like, we got you shortlisted, you know? So we're like making final decisions. Don't get your hopes up or anything. And I was like, fuck, maybe I got Montreal. This would be great.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it. And, yeah, I wasn't like crestfallen about it or whatever, but you know, it was like, I kind of thought I would get it.
Your face is the last big thing.
Yeah.
It's like one to make or break. Yeah. You know?
And then the third year, actually, I moved to LA and like showcases were happening. And it's like nobody in LA was going to put me on a Montreal audition. And I ran out of money and I had to leave. And I was just back in Austin. And while I was in Austin, Cap City was like, do you want to do the Montreal showcase? I was like, sure. And I just showed up drunk, you know. Not super drunk, but you know,
yeah.
You know, I'd like had it. I was like, you know, like loose, whatever. You know, and I just did a set, you know, I didn't think about it. And that was the year I got it.
Wow. When you stopped caring.
Yeah. I stopped giving a shit.
It's amazing how that happens.
But that's also too, I feel like, and I don't know. I mean, I don't feel like I deserved, like, quote unquote, Montreal that year. What I think it was is that, like, I don't think they want to have nothing but New York and LA guys in new faces.
So they look for guys like you and Shane Moss and, like, people like that.
Right, yeah. So, and they had a sort of a track record of sending, like, two Austin people to Montreal every year for, like, a couple of years.
Oh.
And then there was no one from Austin the year before. And it was sort of like I was the Austin guy that year that got Montreal. I don't think I would have gotten it if I was, you know,
from New York or
in New York or in LA.
It really does matter.
Yeah.
It really does. Like your situation, the look of like a white male is, it's not to be like, woe is me, but like there's too many of them. So no one's seeking them out. But mm-hmm. I have had complete conversations about like, look, we got to find a woman. So let's not do anything else until we find a woman for the show.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just, that's just not a thing that'll happen.
And that's the thing that's like, you know, because I mean, I'm 26 now, but that's a comedian's age. You know, it's not like when I was, you know, even up to like 24, you can still be like, oh, this is a young guy. You know, like you have some kind of youth to bank on is like, this is a marketable thing. Because I did get a little bit of industry attention, especially when I was like 20, 21, and it was because I was young.
Youth.
And then as soon as they talked to me, they realized I can't write. I can't fucking act. You know, I don't like have my shit together.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to dress myself, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah. They want Chappelle at 22.
Yeah.
It's like.
Or they want a fucking Brandon Wardell, like a little pumpkin headed fucking, you know, Ariana Grande.
You don't like Brandon?
No, I like Brandon, but I also like shitting
him.
On him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking. Because, like, Brandon had it right because, like, Brandon's material is about being a fucking, you know, like a like 19
play their cute game.
Right, exactly.
Be the cute guy they want you
That's
to be.
Exactly.
Don't be a 16 year old who's talking. Remember Silverchair?
Yeah.
Band?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wait, they're 16?
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. When they hit big, that. What's that big song? What's Silverchair's big song? I'm definitely going to close
it. The one about
that.
Anorexia, right?
Oh, really?
Isn't it? That was their...
Oh, you might be right.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, when you find out they were 16 and 15, you're like, what? And it's like, oh, but they were not as marketable because if they're doing like ABC songs,
yeah,
you know, like Crisscross or something,
yeah,
they're like, we can fit you into a thing, a category.
Mm-hmm.
But only a few people have managed to rise up, like the Runaways, I guess. They were like doing legit music at 14, 15.
Yeah.
But generally, it's like, no, we need you to be a type.
Well, that's true for everybody. I mean, like, it's funny because you think about the best comics and you think about them as like individuals, but then also as products. And even if it doesn't seem like, you know, like who's the comic you really like?
Burr, Tom Segura.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I guess.
There's a lot of them. So what kind of
like
category?
Any comic that's really successful, that's also talented, you can sum up in a sentence. or two. You could fucking very easily.
He's the guy who.
Yeah, this is the guy that does this. And that's not just an industry thing, it's just the way people like to consume shit.
They also they like to put stuff in categories.
Right, they like to put stuff in categories, but like at first glance, you gotta like just see what this guy is.
Cover the book
And know what his material is. Like I think Kinane is really talented, but like Kinane is a type, and the type is Kinane. There's no, you know, there's a lot of people trying to do that, but you see him, and everything that comes out of his mouth seems like that's what should be. And that sounds like derogatory, and that's not what I mean. It's just like he's a complete.
He's giving you what he is. Jim Jefferies is giving you what he is.
Exactly. He's a complete package.
Yeah.
You know,
Jim Jefferies is not going to suddenly do a bit about how amazing parks are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Right, exactly.
Because there's a great place for families to come together.
Yeah.
He's just not, that's just not him.
Right. And it's, there's sort of like, it's this.
Unless it's a good place to do heroin.
Yeah. It's, you know? It's like an intersection between that finding your voice bullshit and figuring out what your brand is. Because, you know, ultimately this is, you know, it's a business and you are trying to.
Great. Then you got. Then you have to hopefully have someone else market you. Like, this is the guy who's the angry guy.
Yeah.
Or this
is
the guy who's political.
Uh-huh.
And you just got to do your art and be like, they can sum me up however they want.
Right. And then there's a lot of guys I think that are like very funny that don't have as much going on for them as they should because they're just funny. You know what I mean? Well, I think Adomian's a good example. I mean, I don't know where his career is at, but I
think. No, Adomian's not just funny. Adomian's like the impressionist of our generation.
He's amazing. But he's amazing, what I mean is like he's not easy to nail down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they used to say that about Galifianakis.
Yeah.
The thing with Galifianakis, and he had a show on I think VH1, like a late night talk show that Brody did the warm up for. But like they always said this thing, like, yeah, but he's funny, but what are we going to do with him?
Mm-hmm.
And our thought as like open micers, and even now I feel the same way. It's like, well, what are we going to do with him? That's your job as the industry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To figure it out. Don't say like, well, what are we gonna do? Yeah, it's not as easy to find. But look at him now. He kills it. Well, you should have been doing something with him.
Yeah. Well, they're not doing their job, I guess.
Yeah. You know? That's but it's like you can't rely on them to do their job because they're just regular people.
I think Sean Patton's another guy that's like he's
funnier than the amount of success he's had.
Right. Yeah.
For sure. He's underachieving in that
like
way.
It's like what is, you know, like what
what's
is,
holding a guy like
you
that back?
Well, yeah, but it's like if you had to describe how Sean, because like even I've tried like quoting Sean's jokes to people and they just stare. I'm like, you got to just feel a fucking.
His This
it.
Is Not Happening story, the one he did for my show, is one of the best ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, about this friend of his having a fake coming out of the closet and Mardi Gras. It was just great. It was great.
Yeah.
But you're like, I was there too, fucking 3 years ago. I was in the same spot.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, why am I about to quit comedy? I feel like I'm funny.
Then maybe, you know what it is? Maybe it's me looking at the success people have and then sort of reverse engineering the whole package thing rather than it being, you know, true that it's the other way around.
What do you mean?
Well, it's not that those people aren't hard to nail down. It's that the industry hasn't done it for me yet, you know, and said, okay, this is what this guy is.
Yeah, you look at outliers sometimes. Yeah. You look at a guy like Chris D'Elia.
And you know what?
You look at whoever's like successful right away, and you're like, oh, how come them? It's like, no, that's just an outlier.
Right. Well, you know what does it mostly? Because I'm not really paying attention to what the industry is doing. What I'm paying attention to is like who's being copied at the open mic level.
Right.
You know, when I go to an open mic,
there's a bunch
many,
of Dane clones.
Right, yeah. How many Hannibals am I seeing? How many fucking Louis am I seeing? How many, you know, that?
And that's success to you?
Well, that's not success. What that is
some level of it, I guess.
It's you know, it's like how are you shaping the industry and how visible are you as a comedian?
I think Dane gets mad about it now when he sees guys like D'Elia or Brent Morin.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, they're being fit. And it's like, one, you didn't invent physical comedy.
Uh-huh.
Don't pretend you did.
Yeah.
But you did bring it into the mainstream.
Yeah.
And you were massive.
Mm-hmm.
And to assume that those 14-year-olds that were a lot of your fan base, not most of it, but some of your fan base, wouldn't grow up to be 24-year-old comics and say, you're my main influence, is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can't get mad at them for liking what you do. I mean, Stephen Wright, they were a bunch of one-liner comics, but he's not really like, that's my thing. It's like, you just made it big.
Yeah.
And that's what influence is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what influence is. People are like, I'm going to grow from you. I'm going to jump from where you are and jump off to a different place.
Yeah. Hopefully, I guess. I mean, I don't feel like I've ever really developed anything uniquely that I, you know, that's definitive about me. Yeah. I know how to write jokes now because I've been doing comedy a long time.
Yeah.
But in terms of stage presence, it's just like a sort of a weird bullshit amalgam of
other people,
all the comedians I've ever liked, you know. And like you feel yourself performing, you're like, oh, this is just how this person would say this, you know?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it really matters whether or not, you know, you have a funny personality. And I don't think I do anymore, especially after doing comedy. I don't have like a reason to be funny in conversation anymore. So, you know.
Yeah, a lot of comics are not funny off stage.
Right. And then you can't just recite material because what the fuck Lame. Is that? And also, you know, you got to have something that gives you a career. I mean, you got to like try to plan for the fucking future.
So what are you thinking about now?
I don't know. Fucking.
You're in a bad spot, man. Yeah, I was there yeah, where you yeah. are. I get it. It's
I don't tough. Know. It is like.
What's the answer? You look at like, where can I go to do something?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe going back out on the road or something. I mean, if I can get a TV credit. And if I can't, like for the last like 4 years.
Desire for those credits hold you back.
Man, the last 4 years I've been like, okay, this is the year I get a TV credit. No, this is the year I get a TV credit.
I had a 5-year plan.
Yeah.
I said I'll quit comedy if I'm not just on a late night talk show in 5 years. It doesn't seem like very much. It could be the late show. It doesn't have to be, you know, the third show, whatever Carson Daly took over for.
Yeah.
It could be that. Just any late night. That's fair. If I'm not getting that in 5 years, I can quit. And then 8 years passed and I hadn't gotten that.
Yeah.
And 9 years passed and I hadn't gotten that. And it was like, fuck.
Yeah.
But like, then what? Bob Oshak told me this once. He's a guy who was the host of the open mic at the store when I started.
Uh-huh.
First, like, professional comic I saw a lot of. And I was, like, really pissed off about Premium Blend. He's like, mm-hmm. what do you want it? I'm like, because, you know, get to be on TV. He goes, and then what? Like, you know, and then you do a half-hour special after that. And he had done one. He'd done Premium Blend and a half-hour special. And he goes, and then what? I'm like, you know, well.
Then you can headline. Like,
what do you think is going to happen, man? You're looking at a guy
yeah.
who's done the things you want. And he's in the back of the comedy store trying to get a spot at the open mic night just like you. So, like, it's 10 grand. That part's nice. And your family sees it. And that's it.
Well,
that's all you're getting out of it.
No, there is definitely a little bit.
Your
like,
colleagues maybe will respect you a little more.
It's not about the respect. Ultimately, the end goal is to be able to headline. And because I feel, you know, I got.
TV credit's not going to do that.
So at some clubs. At some clubs, if you get a half hour. You can bump up the headliner. You know what actually helps?
Yeah, that's true. Some of the big clubs.
Guy Code. Being a guy code. No, I didn't. I have no fucking TV credits whatsoever.
So what do you mean it helped?
What's that?
What do you mean it helped? Guy Code helped.
No, that helps people.
Oh, definitely.
Guy
for code, sure.
Yeah. Because in terms of like draw.
You get a lot of, they're not all, but there's a lot of those Guy Code, Girl Code people that do not have the goods, that just don't have them.
Yeah.
But they have the credit, and they're being pushed on stage as headliners. And it's like, guys, you're doing all of comedy a disservice, and you're doing this person a disservice for the long term.
I mean, I kind of agree
People
with that.
People go to these shows and be like, oh, comedy sucks, huh? This is one of the best? It's so amateurish. Like, yeah, it's a 5-year comic.
I kind of disagree with that, because like I feel like, yeah, it'll be shitty for a little bit, but
then they'll get better because
here's
of this
the thing.
Time.
I became like a good feature act by featuring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first couple of times, like Rich Miller Rich Miller gave me feature spots way before I was ready to feature.
And then you grew into it.
And I grew into it.
Yeah, that's true. When I started headlining, it was the same thing. Like, I can't fail 45, let alone an hour.
Yeah.
And then it was like, then I could.
Yeah, then you can. And after doing like consistent feature work for 2-3 years.
You were a great feature.
Yeah. I'm not going on stage with a fucking set list or worrying about shit. I can do 10 minutes where it's just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Every bit is like loose. I'm like very comfortable with that time slot, 30 minutes. And I know what I'm doing with that time. And I got that way from featuring. I haven't featured in a fucking... Yeah, I used to do 45 minutes like maybe 4 weeks ago. And it was like, fuck. I'm looking at my phone.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you know, it's just like a struggle to get through that time again.
Yeah, my first time on the road, if I haven't been on for like 3-4 weeks, my first set is like, how do I do an hour?
Yeah, exactly. You forget. And it's like, well, you just go back to the bits. I've, you know, and now because, you know, doing just short shows in New York, it's like I got to write new shit all
Giraldo
the time.
Used to say that was a separate beast. Short sets, showcase sets, whatever you want to call them, and hour-long sets are separate beasts.
Oh, yeah. No,
and
it's
some
funny.
People are good at one or the other. Some people are good at both. But they require different things. And they're not one is not more valid than the other.
Yeah. Well,
Doing 12 minutes of killer from start to finish is a difficult thing. And some massive A-level headliners don't know how to do that.
Yeah. No, Austin kind of spoils you because there's so much stage time. And also, Austin has like the whole stand-up scene, I feel like, has more of a... like you know, the audiences are more forgiving. They'll listen to you, and it definitely helps you.
Show.
It definitely helps you learn how to construct like narratives within jokes.
I like that of the early comic because then just like it's your quitting time. The first 2-3 years is such danger to quit, and it's if you're met with like no good feedback, you're more likely to quit. But if you're like coddled a little bit, it's like cool. Now you're past the quitting time. Now you know how to be a comic.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I mean, I felt like DC helped because like the emphasis, it was shorter sets, and the emphasis was on like joke writing. Like even if you weren't, you know, even if they weren't great jokes, it was like, what's the setup? Where's the punchline? Give me two tags. And that's like you were writing jokes. And I remember when I, like the first 3 years I did comedy, I'd be like, man, I got this premise, but I don't really know. Like there was no such thing as let me talk it out on stage. That didn't happen.
Really?
Yeah, no. I would think about it until I had a punchline and two tags.
I had to just think it out on stage.
No. I mean, I started doing that when I moved to Austin, and then it got to the point where it's like, oh, I'm not even going to plan this open mic set out, which you should be at a certain point, you know, as a comedian, you should be able to do that. But
do both.
Yeah, do both. But like Austin lets you meander so much. I would come up here and visit, and I would sign up for mics, and I'd get 2 minutes, and I would literally just finish setting up a joke.
Yeah, but then it's
and
a then problem.
You get the light, and you got to get off. I'm like, how the fuck?
That means I failed at this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, people used to – I do 3-minute mic at the Comedy Store. That was always a 3-minute open mic.
Yeah.
And it was like, how are you supposed to kill in 3 minutes? Even these headliners don't kill in 3 minutes. And then it was like, if you're on the Tonight Show and you have a 4.5-minute set, you better be killing 3 minutes in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're not, then what are you talking about?
It's right.
And then it was like, oh, we all suck.
Yeah.
We're sucky open micers.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go look at your old apartment.
Okay. We're not carrying this thing there, are we?
Yeah, I can put it in my pocket if you want.
But, I mean, are we talking on the
way? No, we're just going to walk over there.
Okay, would you mind if I take a shit real quick then?
Absolutely, you can take a shit. Here's money for the podcast.
Pay me to use
I pay everybody.
You pay everybody?
Yeah, thank the listeners. The listeners use my Amazon link, and then the Amazon link money goes towards paying, I guess, to a week of your rent.
Hey, thanks, guys. Yeah.
That's going to pay a sizable part of your rent.
Hell yeah. This will pay that penalty for not paying the IRS on time.
Yeah. All right. Mark, I can put it on pause if we have to anyway, but keep it close to your mouth. Yeah, what's that? That's a full-on homeless shelter, huh?
It is. What is that? It's a homeless shelter.
Oh, they argue a lot.
Yes, I think that's where like two of the guys I was living with got out of
that homeless shelter.
Yeah, and then moved into to this place where we're going.
Yeah, looks crimey.
This is a cool building. I think that just sold for $50 million.
Really?
Building, yeah,
dude, it's so tagged up.
Yeah, that's,
so this is Bowery. This is the Bowery.
Yeah, this is Bowery. He'll tell you. Tell you.
Oh, I should ask him.
You want to go back, talk to that guy? He's probably got better information than I do.
Yeah, there you go. Too late. No, that would have been the guy to talk to.
Yeah, give him $5.
I didn't want to go. When he said the homes, I was like, what? Oh, you're forthcoming with information?
Yeah.
Oh. No. Damn, that was nice, too. It's so hard to find a guy like that who knows the shit
and
is nice.
He could make some money. We give him like $3.
Yeah.
Give him like $2.50 to give us a
Nick,
tour.
I need that one of those 20s back.
Yeah, yeah.
Cut it into a 5 and then give it to him.
Change.
That's exactly the kind of guy I'm looking for, too. I want to do him with a full-on homeless dude.
Well, that's the thing.
You got to find like a
that feels like you're exploiting them, you know. Even if you're giving them money,
yeah,
kind of, right? You know, it's like a type of voyeurism. It's sort of fucked up.
Their world.
Yeah,
I guess that's what this is, though.
It is, but I mean, I also lived here for a year. I guess it doesn't make it any different.
It's just like, what's your experience?
Yeah,
I want to know about your experience. I'm not going to be like, let's cry about it because my life is better than yours or something. I just want to like,
where
do you eat? What's dumpster food like? I don't know. How often you go to a soup kitchen?
Never.
Is there fucking?
Yeah.
You think it's fucking?
Where?
Homeless community.
Oh, yeah. There used to be an intersection in Austin.
Yeah.
Where I think it was Cubis or Or maybe Jake Flores. They saw homeless people just fucking in broad daylight.
Really?
Like, yeah, right there at the intersection.
You're like, have you no shame? And they're like, yeah, yeah, right.
Right, yeah, no,
we're homeless. No shame.
Yeah.
That'd be great if I have no shame.
Mm-hmm.
To have none.
Yeah,
that'd
none
be like
at
a
all.
Superpower.
Well, I was
born without shame.
There was
so I can do whatever I want.
There, yeah, yeah.
I was born without a sense of shame.
It's like, God damn.
You just stare at people's butts.
Right.
Get right in there. What? No,
spring.
I was born without shame. It's
spring
not my fault.
In New York.
God, it's great. You see that girl's butt right when I left that apartment?
Yeah.
It was like hanging out. It was like caught. Her shorts were caught.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like, I know you're not allowed to catcall or whatever.
You're not catcall, but like...
I want to fuck him. It's
appreciate
fucked up.
Beauty.
Right, it's like, just let me fuck you. You know, I don't know.
Let
There's
me
not
have
a way
my desire can, to have right. sex with you.
Yeah, right.
What else should I be going on? I don't know anything about you.
Excuse me, ma'am. I saw you crossing the street, and I just wanted you to know that I want to fuck you. I apologize, but...
I know this is going to come off as weird.
Yeah. I know you're trying to exercise, but...
It's a strong desire, so I figure I'd just let you know.
I can see you have legs, and I know where they go. They lead to a pussy, and I want to fuck it.
I want to live in that. I want to live in that pussy.
I want to come inside of your body.
So, hotel...
Yeah.
This is the Bowery. Damn, I should go talk to that homeless guy on the way back.
Yeah, if you can find him.
Yeah, if you can find him. I know what he looks like. That guy was homeless, though.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they're slowly going to start tearing all this shit down.
And this is going to become a nice place. Like, who stays up there?
That looks like it's offices.
It does look like offices.
That looks like it's already converted. If you go down East Broadway,
yeah,
that gets more into like... You know, the dingier part of Chinatown where there's people living in bullshit. I can take you to another place that's like the door is just wide open.
Really?
And you can go in, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that. Where is this place?
There's a bunch of them.
Where did you live? How far?
I live like another block down.
Okay. Yeah, take me to one of them.
Yeah.
Are there ever like murders or do cops show up to these things?
No, I think the crime rate around here is very low.
Ever come to like where you lived?
No. I think before I lived there was some issue because I heard from another guy that somebody that had been living there was like selling drugs through the internet or some shit.
Oh, really?
He was like sending out packages, doing some like Silk Road kind of thing.
Did you get internet at their SRO?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I not for the first year. I didn't have internet. So I would like...
How do you get internet in your own thing? It's got a wall big enough to
I gave a guy money for a password for the Wi-Fi.
Oh. To someone else's Wi-Fi.
Yeah, someone else's Wi-Fi. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to put this on pause till we get there.
There are microphones.
They're not going to like it? Can we hide the mic? Here, put it up to your mouth. Can we hide the microphones?
Yeah, no, it's all right.
Can we hide it till we get past them?
Like, no, but he's going to freak out. He's
really?
Like, yeah, why were you?
Well, we're doing a story about this fucking shitty living situation that you're like. I never come to Chinatown.
That's that hotel I was telling you about.
Which one? Which hotel?
This thing.
The steel one?
That Sunbright? No, at the corner.
Oh,
above the diamond store.
Oh, that's the Sunbright Hotel. That looks nice from the outside.
Yeah. I don't know if they
get roof access with that?
Maybe. Yeah, you get to live in the water tower for $200 a month.
Oh, it's a water tower right on top. There was some girl who died in L.A.
The haunted hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was in the water tower.
Dude,
she fell over.
That story's spooky as shit.
I think she went out to look, picked the lid up, looked in, and then fell in.
Well, if you look at the details of that case, it's like two... There's no way she could have lifted it herself. Like,
oh, really?
It doesn't make sense how she got in there. There's no explanation as to how she got in there.
You think somebody picked her up and threw her in there?
No, she had to have been able to get in there on her own. But it's like, I don't know. I'd have to look back at it again. Because it's like maybe she was on ketamine or PCP or something.
Oh.
You know, and she was like stronger than normal.
Yeah, maybe. Watch out. She's going to clothesline that girl.
Yeah.
You're getting nervous about this.
Yeah, well, if they
can put it away.
If they tell the apartment broker or whatever, and
then what?
Well, you know, the place I'm at now, let's say I can't live there anymore and I've like soiled my relationship with that apartment broker. Yeah. Then like I'm fucked because then I can't get another apartment.
All right, why don't we put this away until we get to the room?
All right.
So that way you shouldn't have to see you. How close are we to your place?
It's right here.
Okay. Here, give me that mic.
Yeah. We'll just pretend like I'm showing you the refrigerator that I'm selling.
Pretend that for showing the refrigerator. Okay. Okay.
Am I living in a box? Am I living in a cardboard box? Am I living in a box? Am I living in a cardboard box? Am I living in a box?
Oh, this is it? Locked. I can't. Oh, not locked.
It's locked.
It's locked?
It's never locked. Shit.
Well, we couldn't get it in Nick's apartment.
Yeah. Or this other fucking
or this other one they
slump.
Went to. That was interesting, though. The guy outside your place.
Yeah.
They're giving you guys another month before shutting it off?
Yeah, I guess so.
Why are they shutting it down?
Well, it was bought by some billionaire. He bought like 11...
Building.
Yeah, yeah, the building. Like 2 years ago. And I guess they've been sitting on it waiting to turn it into something.
And now they finally are, so like, you guys got to leave.
Yeah, they're turning
you're
it
right.
into...
You should say, like, I want relocation costs. You can't...
Yeah, no, I mean, that was certainly my plan. It's just that they didn't get back to me until I had already moved out. So it was like, you know what, fuck it. I just want to move on with my life.
I know, but that's so lame. They can just outweigh you. They're like, oh, I know we're supposed to have to relocate these guys because they can't just kick people out of their homes.
Well, they can. They don't. If they can, because I talked to a lawyer about it.
Yeah.
And the lawyer was like, you can ask them for money, but they could also just lock you out, and they would not face any legal repercussions.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm not living. Yeah, right. That's why. Because I wasn't renting the room from them. I was renting it from this other guy. So I don't have a lease. Nobody's supposed to be living there anyways.
Oh. Train is loud. Oh, so they get you out. It was funny seeing the way you get your mail is just like pry open the entire mailbox.
Oh, yeah,
you can see everybody's mail.
Yeah.
I wonder if this will pick up or if I'll get drowned out. I assume that would be a very tough place to like get packages delivered.
Yeah. Well, that guy out front, he ran a business out of there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know he had trouble.
He was dressed okay. Oh, he had trouble with, like, stolen packages.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's probably the worst part about that is, like, I was able to, like, bring, like, women back there.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to ask about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What
I
was that
like, at first, I was like, oh, that's a problem, but I didn't have trouble doing it. And
what do you mean? Really?
Yeah, no.
Like, how many girls did you fuck in that place? We just peer in the window. We peer
five.
In the window a little bit. The units seem small.
I think
I wish
five.
I could have seen them. Five girls.
Yeah.
That came back with you. Five different girls.
Yeah.
Any multiples?
But like what, a threesome in there?
No.
There's not even enough
room for that.
Yeah.
No, I mean like girls came back again.
Oh no, never.
Never a girl.
It was absolutely always like, oh, what did I do? You know, like one of those situations. But once you get them in there, they're trapped. You can lock the door. They can't get out.
Yeah. Well, once they decide I want to sleep with them, it's like very little is going to turn them off.
Right.
To the point where like I don't want to sleep with them anymore. I've already shaved.
At one point, I threw out my mattress because I got bed bugs.
Oh.
And I was able to like fuck a girl on just wood, on a piece of wood.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean a piece of wood?
Like a piece of like 3/4-inch plywood. Like that was all I had for a bed. I was just sleeping on wood.
Oh. What did that guy just ask you?
I don't know.
Said something, right?
He direction. Said something. I don't know if it was English.
Was it like demon?
I think it was like that backwards Latin that demons speak in horror movies.
Big Latin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What is this?
Right. Oh, do they still do that in horror movies? Whenever there's like words being
speaking
spoken
tongues.
And someone's like, wait a minute, it's Latin. Yeah, of course it's Latin. It's the devil. The devil speaks Latin always.
Why does the devil speak Latin?
I don't know.
First language of man.
Yeah, right.
That's such a Homer.
Yeah, it's
idea.
Not.
They
yeah, they just
Latin.
Picked a language.
No, because that's what the Bible was written in.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Right.
All right, so we didn't get in. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, what? They didn't say anything to the girls? They were just like, they were still like, all right, let's do it. Were they spend the night?
Yeah, one girl did. And, two girls did.
I'm
but one of them was a girl I dated, so that was okay.
You
that
dated
like,
her in that place?
No. This was like an ex-girlfriend.
Oh, right.
So, yeah. But,
did they say, like, this. Were they say anything to you about the way you live?
No.
Girls complained to me about me being messy.
No, I think it's just people just understand that it's, you know, it's New York.
Right.
yeah. One girl did just like run away.
What do you mean?
She like got in there and then we were like hooking up. And then I didn't have condoms. That was like the thing. And she's like, I gotta go. She's left.
That was enough for her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like, you know what? This is bad. No condoms.
Yeah, right.
You know what? Why am I still doing this?
Uh-huh.
I was hooking up with some chick that I was not attracted to.
Yeah.
And then she was like,
oh, that's also, I should mention, they were all hideous. This wasn't like I was banging like hot women.
Models.
In this. Yeah, no, go. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, like, let's keep it clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, she told me she had herpes. I was like, oh. And she goes, that's all right. We just got to use a condom. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know what? I'm out.
Yeah.
I was so close already to not wanting to do it. It's only because you called me.
Yeah.
I was like ready to go to sleep. It was just like, nah. Nah.
Yeah, it's real hard not drinking, you know?
What?
A lot of times I just like
Howard Johnson. What the fuck neighborhood is this? It's hard to hook up without drinking.
Yeah, because yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, it's so much fucking effort and it's all bullshit. You know, like everything that happens before the fucking is bullshit. You know, well, it's like,
we're not
right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's like we might as well just be having like a tea ceremony. You know, like,
but, you ever see that Goodfellas scene where he's like, they're talking to the diner. He's like, we weren't talking about clothes. We were talking about whether he's not going to kill me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so that some girl just that's got to be like,
yeah.
At that point, were you like, I got to get out of this place? Or like, oh, well, good night.
Yeah, I was like, well, that
did
fucking...
Did you even give her any weight?
That sucks.
Yeah.
No, I just jacked off like 3 times, and I was fine.
Yeah. Can't look like an adult.
Yeah. You move on with your life, man. You jack off, you move on.
Yeah. Are you taking me to another place, or are we going...
No, I was headed back to your place.
Okay, yeah. Well, Nick, then where can people find you? What's the story?
Wait, Chinatown, baby. Chinatown.
There's gotta be something else about this thing that I'm not asking you. About these living situations. Have your parents seen it?
Yeah, my dad helped me like put plastic drop sheeting all over the walls so bed bugs couldn't get in.
Really?
Yeah.
What do they say?
He just laughed. He was like, you know, this is you're an idiot.
Where do you come? Like, what people do you come from?
Well, I mean, it's not like my parents live in a hole. They're fine, but...
The house? They have a house?
They have apartments, yeah. Okay. They're not poor by any means, but they, you know, I mean, I've been a fucking idiot for a while, so it's not like...
They're used to it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the sheep didn't just turn black.
Right, yeah. Well, it's funny, like, I'm actually, like, theoretically, or at least, like, you know, on paper... I'd say doing better than two of my stepsisters, just based on the principle that I'm, like, not living at home.
Right.
So, you know, I wouldn't say I'm the black sheep.
Right, right, right. Maybe that's like a good point. Maybe, you at least are doing it on your own.
Yeah, right, exactly.
We're gonna make it after all.
But the point is that you can still be poor in Manhattan.
And jeez, I can't imagine living on 300.
That's 350, nice yeah.
A reason for a Mustang in the city.
Yeah.
Brand new. It looks suspicious almost.
Looks nice. Have you seen that, is that Equus, it's either Bass or Bass 770. It's like this, like, independent car company just, like, ripped off the Mustang. Made, like, a fucking really nice looking Mustang. Yeah, and it's not licensed by Ford or anything. It's not like a...
just some guy making cars.
Right. It's not like a Shelby Mustang thing. This is like just, yeah, some fucking, I think he's from Dubai or something.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's like this car company that's started. They're selling these like $250,000 Mustang ripoffs, and like Ford's just not suing them. I don't understand why. Yeah. If you look at the car, it looks like a Mustang.
Yeah. Why don't people just like copy cars? Like, take apart the motor, look at it, just build it back up again.
Right.
Like,
well, normally you'd get sued for doing that.
Right.
I don't know.
Patents and shit.
Yeah. Yep. That's why.
I like the people in this neighborhood, like that guy.
Yeah.
They have, like, the Asian girl has become, like, sort of a status symbol for the male white hipster.
Have they? I think it's always been that way.
Really?
Yeah. Like, if you're, like, a white dude dating an Asian chick, like,
yeah, that's just a sign of coolness. I shouldn't say for hipsters. Just, like, look, I'm down. I'm not crazy. I'm not doing anything, like... too, like, it's just like, look, I'm into like weird shit, you guys.
I don't think I've ever dated anyone that wasn't white. I've like fucked, but never dated.
Yeah, I don't know if I have.
Yeah, and that's only because I'm racist. That's the only.
Your dick is racist.
Yeah, I'm only doing it because I don't think we would have good children. That's yeah. This is the reason behind it.
Did your sisters look down on you?
No, not at all. No, my family's actually like very supportive of me.
That's cool.
You know, they're like, "Wow, Nick's a comedian." You know, but like, I failed. I'm not like I'm not a successful comedian. I'm just some fucking.
Some comic.
Some idiot, yeah.
So depressing.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's especially...
It's business.
Especially the last couple years.
Yeah, it's been lean.
Yeah, it's been pretty depressing. But, you know, what else am I going to do?
Did you ever get that realization? We're like...
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like a couple...
There's nowhere else I can go.
A couple years ago, I thought,
to
like...
To what?
Yeah, I was like, you know what? Comedy's, like, hard on me. I was, like, dating a girl at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like... Why don't I just try to have like a healthy relationship, and I'll pursue the relationship and find another job. And luckily, the relationship fell apart because, yeah. Like, I would have just fucking like quit comedy and tried to be a quote unquote regular dude. But that shit sucked. Like,
there's that too. It's not better. You look right. At the other side, like, oh, it must be awesome, but it's like, nah.
Yeah, my life is actually like really fucking easy. My rent's cheap. I get paid doing, you know, something that I, you know, kind of...
No responsibility.
I don't love, but...
No responsibility.
Right, yeah, I have no responsibilities. My life's fucking easy. I just fuck around and act like an idiot all the time, and I get paid to do it. And I'm still miserable about it.
This is upscale right here.
Yeah.
What is this?
I don't know.
Dude, I mean, it's dingy all around, and then upscale in that restaurant.
Well, We're already back,
room.
Yeah, and like yeah.
Oh yeah, just below Delancey.
Yeah. So this is already nice again.
Yeah, and then she broke up and you're like, I got nothing else to do.
Yeah, and then I just sort of got back into comedy. I mean, I never really... There's been a lot of times where I've been very vocal about, like, I'm quitting comedy because I'm, you know, it's like just being melodramatic about it.
Yeah,
want attention. And that shit fucking... That's like very stupid to do.
Because you either have to go back on it or what? Or they'll
yeah, right, exactly. I mean, like...
It. So, like, what are you going to get out of
right, you also look like a fucking idiot, you know, when you, like, very publicly say, you know, I'm done with this shit. Because the vast majority of people that do comedy do it because they enjoy it, you know? It's not a fucking struggle. I mean, I guess it gets frustrating at a certain point, yeah, but...
Well, they got a whole hairy exhibit in there.
Yeah, I don't know. At a certain point, I guess you just have to be okay with the fact that, like, yeah, it probably nothing will happen for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's when I sort of became at peace with it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, nothing's going to... So I'm just going to keep going until I run out of money, and I'll just, you know, whatever, kill myself or do something else.
Right, exactly.
But, like, just get peaceful with it.
Yeah.
That's what it took me that to be like, okay, then I'm just going to develop on my own, do my own thing.
Well, it's funny,
and
too.
And when they come calling now, and they do sometimes... It's like, yeah, either way, I don't care. I'm just doing my own thing.
Yeah.
It can be with you or
and,
not.
And it's funny because I think people, you know, people repeat that all the time. They say it.
Say what?
Well, they say it like, oh, you know, until like comedy gets to a point where you've given up, that's when it starts to get good. But like, I hear people say that all the fucking time.
Right.
And it's from people that like that don't know what that means, that they haven't given up. They just like, they hold on to some bullshit kind of hope in their head. And it's like, if you really... Like, really think about it in terms of, like, oh, no, things aren't going to happen for me in this business. Like, it is constantly depressing. And it's not something where you're holding on. You're not still writing for yourself that bullshit underdog narrative where it's like, yeah, you know, those were the years I struggled. But then things happen.
In your head, you're imagining some fantasy
right,
where you
hit
it. No,
exactly.
You're really done with it. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
Like me with basketball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know that I will never play professional basketball.
Right.
I just know, there's not a doubt in my mind at all.
Uh-huh.
So none of my life is led towards basketball.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's impossible to not, like, have some degree of, like, hope or expectation.
Uh-huh.
It's just hard to do your job when you're at a level where it's like, oh, yeah, I have really nothing to show for this after this long.
Yeah, it really is tough. Yeah. 10 years in, you're like, I don't have anything I can show.
Yep, nothing.
a decade of work.
Yeah.
And you're like, hopefully now I'll get some things.
Uh-huh.
A decade of apprenticeship.
Right. And well, there's no like snowball effect either, because like for I moved to Austin, things started ramping up quickly. I started featuring like relatively young, and it was always like, oh yeah, this is where it starts to fucking take off. And then I just get like something seems like it's going to come through, and then it doesn't.
And then it doesn't.
You know, even like after like Montreal, I was like, okay, I'm gonna. I like made an effort to like do everything right. I thought, you
what
know,
what does
like,
that mean?
Being sober. I like right, I got in really good shape before Montreal, just so I like looked good, you know.
Yeah.
I bought new clothes, got a haircut.
Yeah.
I brought like an extra $1,000 just to buy drinks at the bar, you know, like
really?
Fucking network or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
I was you like, I don't want to feel
Montreal, but yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to feel like I fucked this up, you know, by any means. And then nothing happened. Didn't get management.
Right.
Didn't even get like anyone interested in managing me. Out of Montreal. I mean, it was fun to go do it, but you know, things didn't get quiet again.
Then you got to go back to the drawing board. Like, fuck, now what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Eddie Soto had that problem where he was he booked some sitcom, and it was based around him and his father. And they shot the pilot, and it just didn't get picked up.
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, that was 10 years of work.
Yeah.
And then it's just done. I'm like, what am I? And he got super depressed and alcoholic after that. I was like, what am I supposed to do now? It was 10 years. My entire career is built towards this. And they go, no thanks.
Yeah, you just got to do something else.
Yeah. Fuck. I always wonder about the people who quit. People who get out.
Well, that's the thing. That's the scariest part is they become delusional because... Like there was this guy, I forget his name. There was a guy that would do mics in DC like 10 years ago,
yeah.
And I think me and Hampton were kind of friends with him, you know.
Oh, 3D imaging.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a store that does 3D imaging.
Is it just some guy?
3D selfie? Anyone? Wow. So these are 3D. These are made from 3D printers.
Yeah.
All these things.
Yeah. You ever see one of these?
No.
They're pretty cool.
Whoa. These are actual...
Wow. Oh, wow. That's only 1,300.
1,300. It's almost going to be the point where we're all going to have one.
Yeah, you can make your own gun.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, Hampton, you out and you know this guy. What is this line for? A new shoe. It's got to be a new shoe.
Some bullshit pop-up.
Oh, maybe art. Could be art.
You're going to interview people?
No, but these people are so much... These people are winners in their scene.
Yeah.
This, whatever this is. These are all like...
Yeah, these are like people that don't have...
worries?
But yeah, right. Exactly. Like just fucking existential dread. They don't have anything. Yeah, I love t-shirts. My dad has money, and I love T-shirts. That's what I do.
I decided I want to do that with my life.
I go shopping. I fucking shop like anybody. Imagine being a person that shops.
Yeah. So yeah, what you and Hampton Yount?
Oh yeah, no, I used to do mics with this guy, and then he just sort of stopped. What? You know,
English candy store. Dude, what neighborhood is this?
This is your neighborhood. We're like 3 blocks from your apartment.
I never go south of Houston.
Oh, really?
I know it's only 4 blocks away from me, but I never go south of it.
Yeah, no, this is where you live.
Oh. All these fucking...
Aren't those
Chinese
candies? You can't import them anymore.
Chinese cola shit? Oh, dude, we got to pause. I got to buy some Chinese cola.
All right.
All right, it's Chinese gummy cola. Well, I guess we don't have to pause, but yeah, so keep going about Hampton Yount.
It's a nice 4-hour podcast.
Yeah, it's not even that long. Yeah, so... Some Chinese cold, individually wrapped. Oh, they're hard. I expect them to be sauce.
Oh, they're not those gummies?
Oh, they're not gummies.
It's like soda bottle gummies.
Yeah, you think they would be, right?
What is this?
What?
Gerolsteiner?
Just water. Mineral water.
Mineral water.
All right. Oh, yeah, maybe I won't get any of this. No, I'm just looking. I thought those were gummies, but I'm just looking. You have some cool stuff in here. Damn, all these different kinds of sodas.
Mm-hmm.
How long you been here? What's the store? 4 months and 5 years total. Kit Kat Mint? All right. I'll at least get something. Kit Kat Mint, please. What's this?
Strawberry.
Oh, yeah. Give me that. And then what's this? Pop Rocks. Vanilla ice cream Kit Kats? Where are all these from?
Japan.
Wow. All right. Yeah. What else am I missing here? Boom. And that's good. Raspberry. Jeez.
Oh, you should get some Marmite.
What's Marmite? Australian?
Yeah.
What's Marmite? Have you ever had it?
I've had Vegemite. I don't know if it's the same. They're similar, right?
Oh, similar.
Yeah.
Just different country.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Oh, yeah. Give me an Oreo with white chocolate, too. How much does this cost?
This is $1.
Okay. Take that out of it. Thank you. Thanks. All right. Let's do it. Mini eggs? Jeez. All right, I'm coming back here. What's this place called?
Sheer Asia.
Okay. Euro Asia. Okay. All right, thanks. Oh, they got randoms.
Oh. Rand, do you know these candies?
Some of them I do. Some of them I really do. Some of them I've heard of. Twiglets Originals? Dude, what Twiglets? Marmite Crisps? Okay, I'm coming back here.
This is all British candy?
Some Japanese, Chinese. Oh, She Eurasia. S-H-I yeah. Eurasia.
Yeah, no, oh. She turned that into one syllable.
She Eurasia, yeah.
She Eurasia.
So anyway, yeah, you and Brendan and Hampton, you out.
Oh, right, yeah. So this guy, there was a guy who would do mics in D.C.
Yeah.
And he's an all right guy. You know, we were friends with him. But, you know, at that level, you do comedy, what, a year and a half, 2 years? You suck. You're garbage.
Yeah, you suck.
Everybody we all sucks. Suck.
You're just hoping to be less sucky than the other guys.
Right, exactly. So maybe he was, like, a little less sucky than the other guys. But, yeah, it's like a couple years ago, Hampton was like, hey, you remember this guy? I was like, yeah. He's like, I found his – he's got, like, a blog where he just goes on about himself and his comedy days.
Really?
And, yeah. And it's like the guy did comedy for maybe a year and a half at the open mic level. Maybe did one or two bar
his
shows.
Comedy days.
Yeah, and he's like, still today, you know, people talk about how good of a comedian I was DC scene.
He talks about how good you were?
No, him.
Oh, my God.
This is him speaking about himself.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, my name still, you know, gets some attention in certain circles. It's like, you're fucking out of your mind.
They're out of their mind.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're saying that people who quit are kind of delusional about their place in it.
Right, yeah. Even if you had
it's
credits.
Like, dude, you failed out. Well,
right.
How good do you think you were when you failed out?
Well, that's funny. It's like, even if you have credits, like, there's a lot of Austin guys that didn't, they didn't leave Austin. And Austin used to be a place where, and they're very, like, talented comics.
Yeah.
But, for a while there, Austin was like a very easy place to build like the foundation of a career.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, I mean, it was like there was like a 3 or 4 year period where if you were like a funny guy in Austin, you would get Montreal and you would get live at Gotham.
Yeah. Brendan Walsh.
Walsh is probably the most successful.
They told me, by the way, from Montreal, they said, I'm too old. Stop trying.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then that same year, I was like, Duncan went. He's exactly my age.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what can you do? And then Brendan went the next year, and he was my age I was.
Yeah. You know, like guys like Brian Gutman and Lucas Melendez. And
yeah, those guys are delusional, the ones that quit out.
Yeah, well, they're not delusional, but
not
like...
Lucas Melendez. I'm saying the guys who quit, not those
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Eric Krug. They're all very funny comics, but they didn't... Either they didn't leave Austin, or they went back to Austin, and
it's when they go back and it's like, I'll come back to LA or New York.
Yeah, you know, you don't.
Will you?
Well, that was because I lived in LA for a while. And like when I left, I had to leave. I ran out of money.
Yeah.
And but I hated it. I fucking hated my time in LA. I wasn't getting on anything. I wanted to leave. But I felt like, no, once you move, that's it. You can't leave.
Well, it's like getting engaged to a girl. You can't call it off and then go back to dating.
Yeah, exactly. So like leaving, even though I fucking hated it there, it was like such a crushing defeat.
Yeah.
And moving here has been, I guess, all right. I wish I had moved. Oh yeah, I wish I had moved here when I was 18, 19 instead of Austin.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I feel like I would. Well, who knows? You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a delusional thing when they quit of like, or they'll come back. Sometimes they'll come back to the Comedy Store and they're like, oh, I used to go up here. And it's like, okay, man, no one remembers you.
Yeah.
Like, no one remembers you. It's like, oh, when I was here, the phone was, the desk was over there instead of there. Yeah. It's like, well, when was that?
Right.
I don't know who you are.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's like.
What do you expect? Everyone, like, your place, when they leave, yeah, they think it all stays exactly the same.
I forget who said it. I think it was Mike Lawrence had some fucking quote somewhere. Maybe it wasn't him. I don't know. Yeah. But somebody was saying that, like, you know, nobody's, like, rooting for you to fail. Nobody wants you to fail.
Right.
But nobody gives a shit if you disappear. You know? It's
right,
like,
right,
no,
right.
Nobody cares if you do.
Yeah, nobody's unless you're, like, one of the greats.
Right.
Then no one will miss you.
Well, even if you're fucking
Stanhope. Let's say Stanhope just stops doing comedy.
Yeah.
People would miss him.
Yeah. There's been, like, a couple. There was a guy in D.C., Kojo Monte, who was, like, the funniest dude in D.C.
Yeah.
He was such a fucking good comedian. And, yeah, for whatever reason, he just stopped.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, he was, like, right along with, like, Rory and guys like John Mooma and
that
and
guy from San Francisco. Schlegel. Was that real good-looking black guy?
Good-looking black guy?
Yeah.
From San Francisco?
Yeah, but in, like, the Louis Katz years and Moshe Kasher years.
Oh.
Red? Was his name Red something?
I don't know.
Damn it. I can't remember his name. Yeah, he was really good, but... Yeah, he sort of stopped, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, what happened to him? Like, no one missed it. You're right.
Yeah.
This guy, I was at my parents' house for Shabbat lunch, and some guy's like, when I was like 5-6 years in, and he's like, yeah, I did comedy for a while. Let me give some tips. And it's like, what are you how dare you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I wanted to be like, hey, go fuck yourself. But I can't say that at Shabbos table, but like, it was like, what are you even talking about? You failed at this thing years ago?
Yeah.
And you would be like, look, everyone else should help you because I clearly wasn't any good at it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So don't get your advice from me. But they really think that, yeah, it's like, I did it. I know what I'm talking about. No, you don't.
Well, yeah, I mean, like,
We have no respect for the people who failed out.
Well, that's the thing. I know that that would, if I quit comedy, I would spend the rest of my life telling myself, like, I could have made it, you know?
Could have made it.
Yeah, I could have. Even though, like... There's no evidence of that, you know?
That's one of the reasons I moved out. I looked ahead.
Yeah.
I looked ahead to, like, you know, 30 years down the road.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I don't want to be that 55-year-old guy looking back going, I wonder if I could have done something.
Yeah.
I wonder if I could have fucking done that.
Well, that's fucking smart.
I just wanted to know. Like, all right, I couldn't. I tried. I got no laughs for 3 straight years. I couldn't. I know now. Give me the wife and the kid and softball on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I guess that is like the only benefit I got out of starting young is that now I've worked through all that, like, oh, should I be doing this? Shouldn't I be doing this? Bullshit.
Yeah.
Relatively young. So, I mean, like, I'm not going to go through any of that should I quit nonsense anymore.
Right,
it's just my life is going to be garbage.
There is also, and I'll tell you this, that I know it doesn't matter your age because we talked about this when we were on pause about your, it's like your comedy age really is what your age is. But there is something to being of an age where you're more sure of yourself as a human.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
You know how to get laid. It's not just an amazement anymore. And it's like, you're more of an adult. You're more confident in yourself.
Sure.
And that is like beyond your comedy age.
Right. Yeah.
And as you are becoming more of a man, it's like, you will do better. You will know your voice more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really don't
like
think.
Everybody new in comedy, all their bits are about not being able to get laid.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, because you don't think you can.
My first, like, I think four years of comedy were pretty much wasted. I mean, there's like no reason to be doing comedy as a 17-year-old if you're not trying to work that angle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, right. Work what angle? The 17-year-old angle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. What's the point, even? What if once in a while I see a young guy and I don't know.
That's you.
It's me, but it's not for me. It's my old people that were here a year ago. Overnighted something to her. Anyway. Well, I don't think you should quit, but it's your life.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm not going to quit. No, things are going all right. I'm fine.
I mean, you really are. You can see the people that you know you're in the league with. You know you're right there with. And some people you'll think you're better, and some of them you're like a little below, but you know where you're in the same like category with, you know, in terms of like talent. And if those people are getting on at midnight and getting fucking spots on Comedy Central shows, then it's like, then so are you. You're right there with them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not, there's like no bitterness or anything. It is just like,
it's just frustration. I know what it is.
Yeah, it's not even, because I feel like I was frustrated when I was, you know, like a couple years ago. And now it's just sort of, I'm like okay with where I'm at. And if anything happens, great, sure. But, you know, I don't, like, I'm not going to be able to get rid of the feeling like, oh, I already kind of failed at this.
Right. Oh, right. All right, Mullen.
All right, man.
Where can people find you?
Facebook. That's all I use anymore.
You don't do Twitter?
Nah, I retired.
How come?
I don't know. Probably was a good distraction.
Sure is a distraction.
Yep.
Sure is a distraction.
Mm-hmm. But if we have mutual friends, you can add me on Facebook. And if not, then, well, that's
that. What's the blog that you write that used to be good? Look back in the old ones.
I write on Thought Catalog. I don't know. It's garbage. I don't even want to promote it.
Okay.
If you Google my name, you'll find people talking about how much of a piece of shit I am. And those are more entertaining than the blog itself.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, buddy.
All right, man. Well, I hope you enjoyed Chinatown.
That was actually nice. I can go back to that candy store. I can't eat this today because it's Wednesday. No candy Wednesdays. But I'm definitely going to go back there.
Yeah. All right, well,
yeah.
Take it easy. And giggle. Now this little store is called the Lancy Street. It's the place where clothes are bought and people meet. Each city has a place that's quite the same, even though it might go by a different name. The Lancy Street. Delancey Street, Delancey Street. The story can't be beat. Well, I went to Delancey Street to buy some whales, even though I already had on fresh gear. Going to the store to buy. Somebody give this kid a chance.
Somebody. Comedy club bookers, come on. You don't even have to put yourself that far out. He's a funny guy. I'm not even talking about headlining him or something, but come on, let give him some feature work at least. I mean, come on, he's funny. He's 26, he's 10 years into comedy. And he's starving to death. He lives in a fucking box. Just give him a middle week. The league minimum, $100 a day. Get him a flight, get him a hotel if you want. You can. Crackers gets a hotel. Dallas Improv gets a hotel. Some places do. Come on, guys. Fucking help a comic out. That's it, everybody. That's the episode. Don't forget to go to my Amazon link at arithegreat.com. We can say everything on there that helps pay guys like Dick Mullen who need it. I'm going to write to Allison right now and see if I can get him to MC at least for my DC shows. Let's do that. But that's it, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, it's like when you see a thing like that, and you hear a comic talking like that, it's sort of hard for me because I feel bad. I heard this quote of D.L. Hughley once where he was talking about, you know, doing so well financially and like career-wise. And he was saying he was like sort of embarrassed by it because there were so many guys that he came up with that were like, you know, just as talented as him or more talented than him. And he's like, and they're not, you know, some of them are not even in the business. Some of them are not making it. And I don't know if this is really a thing he said or not, but it was attributed to him anyway. And I think, I don't know, I kind of feel that way too when a good comic is like struggling. It's like, fuck, I wish you didn't have to. Just sucks. Give a nug to a comic, you guys. Just sucks to fucking struggle. Not even see, like, just like, is it ever going to happen? Can I ever just make a living at this? Can I get out of a goddamn illegal living situation? It's not like it's asking for that much. I just want to live in a legal situation. That's how successful I want to get. That's not that much. But it's hard for a lot of people. We really do. It becomes like a 10-year apprenticeship. He's living in the slave quarters. No, not slave quarters. Help? No, he's living in a tenement. Might compare it to something else. All right, you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Ari Shaffir's Kept the Tank, episode 216, Tenement, over and out. Thanks, Nick Mullen.
Harry is the one I think you'll marry, but it's Chris that you kissed after school. Well, I'm a fool, there's no doubt, but when the sun comes out, and only when the sun comes out, I'm the luckiest guy on the Lower East Side. 'Cause I've got wheels, if you wanna go for a ride. The day is beautiful, and so are you. My car is ugly, but then I'm ugly too. I know you'd never give me a second glance, but when the weather's nice, all the other guys don't stand a chance. I know Professor Blumen makes you feel like a woman, but when the wind is in your hair, you laugh like a little girl. So you share secrets with Lou, but we've got secrets too. Well, one, I only keep this heap for you, 'cause I'm the ugliest guy on the Lower East Side.